Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Let's take a look at NJM Insurance Group traffic, see what's up this morning. Kathy, what's going on? Do you have control over your volume? Kathy is broadcasting from home today.
It is all the way up.
Okay.
It's a little better.
Okay, everybody, we'll just whisper.
Oh, seriously? Okay. Is
that
low?
Yeah, it's...
Wait, hold on. Let me see. Does this do anything? Can you guys...
Are you talking into the right end of the microphone, Kathy? Okay.
No,
is this
I can...
doing anything?
Nope. Did you have her on earlier, Casey?
No, we didn't. This is,
okay, yeah, I can barely hear her.
Yeah.
Well, let's make it like secret story time.
Okay.
There's all also right. A lot of white noise behind her as well.
Let me turn down this traffic music. Yeah, I hear a lot of hiss. I do.
Is that taking the hiss away? Listen.
Nothing.
It sounds like you're like by the ocean. Or like a waterfall.
But you're,
I wish I was by the ocean.
You're very, very quiet. I've got you turned all the way up on the board here. Are we using new equipment today?
So they took the old equipment and they fixed it.
Oh, good.
It worked so poorly back then.
Well, the hisser wasn't turned on.
Do you want me to call on the phone?
We're not going to be able to do this. Yeah, it's way too low. I don't even know if our audience can hear you right now or not.
Please let us know if you can hear this. And perhaps pressing the phone is the way to go, and that'll make Kathy eligible for our stupid question.
Marissa is pointing to her ear and giving a thumbs up. So
she can hear out of that ear.
She cleaned them this morning, okay. So she's good to go. All right, is Kathy on the phone line? Hold on. Kathy, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, yeah. Let's do it this way. All right.
Wow.
Good morning. Oh, are we doing traffic? Hey, Kathy, what's up in traffic?
Perfect. This traffic report brought to you by Giant. The Giant Make a Difference Holiday Food Drive is on. Stop by a Giant location for Black Friday through December 3rd. Donate non-perishable food and help make sure everyone has a full plate this season. We do have a few closures out there because of down trees and down wires from yesterday. So Bristol Road closed between Buck Road and Churchville Lane. That's in Lower Southampton. We also have closures and some damage, extensive damage in Montgomeryville because of the winds from yesterday. Markley Street at Sturge Street, we have an accident, 95 southbound, starting to flow Cotman to Bridge. And then on the Schuylkill westbound, we have that construction in the left lane between University and the Vine. There was eastbound construction near the Vine. That is now cleared. This traffic report brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's has breakfast covered with their 2 for $4 breakfast, 2 Sammys, $4. Offer valid for a limited time during breakfast hours only. See participating Wendy's for details. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Thursday, December 1st. Good morning, Kathy.
Sorry, we have to move on.
No.
Seriously.
Yeah.
In the news this morning, a severe line of storms moved through the Philadelphia region on Monday evening, triggering tornado warnings in Delaware, Pennsylvania, and South Jersey. The fast-moving storm moved northeastward through the heart of the Delaware Valley, producing damaging winds, wind gusts near 60 miles per hour. An extensive amount of damage has been reported in Montgomeryville, where a tornado may have touched down. Debris scattered the area off of 202 near the Costco in Montgomeryville. The damaging winds were so strong they moved parked cars. Siding was ripped off of buildings. I know, right? Siding was ripped off of buildings. 5 businesses were damaged and 16 homes, including one that had its roof completely ripped off. There were also gas leaks in the area.
Yeah,
we
had roof damage in my neighborhood. We had trees snapped in half. We had debris all over the place. So I was, you know, I'm not too far from Montgomeryville.
Yeah, you guys got whomped. You're saying this last night, and we got definitely a formidable storm, but we didn't get this in the Mount Airy area.
Yeah, it was nasty.
So the American Red Cross is assisting the displaced residents. There have been no confirmed tornadoes at this time, but the National Weather Service says it's monitoring damage and will be in contact with officials in Montgomery County about a possible tornado. No injuries were reported. A standoff with police in northeast Philadelphia ended with 2 people critically wounded and officers coming under fire. The incident began at 8:40 in the evening when officers were escorting a woman to retrieve some personal property inside a home near Kyle and Oak Hill Roads, police said. According to investigators, officers were met by a 53-year-old man armed with a shotgun. Investigators said SWAT officers were called, and when they tried to go inside the house, another woman in the home fired at the officers. Both the man and the woman are in the hospital in critical condition. There were no officers that were injured in the incident. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy announced tighter restrictions on gatherings Monday amid an ongoing surge of coronavirus cases across the country. The Democratic governor also announced the state would be halting indoor youth and adult sporting events. The number of people allowed to gather outdoors will be further limited to a maximum of 25 people effective Monday, December 7th. That's down from the maximum of 150 people and a return to limits that were back in place in May and June. Outdoor dining is unaffected by the new outdoor gathering restrictions, Murphy clarified on Monday. Other exceptions to the limit include political and religious activities that are constitutionally protected, as well as weddings and funeral services. The ban on youth and adult indoor sports will take effect at 6 a.m. Saturday and remain in effect until January 2nd. We are seeing outbreaks related to indoor sports, and this is a prudent short-term step to slow the spread, Murphy said. Collegiate and professional teams are exempt from the ban, and outdoor sports will also be able to resume. Indoor event gatherings remain limited to just 10 people under restrictions imposed earlier this month. The state of New Jersey reported 3,199 new coronavirus cases and 15 new deaths on Monday. In sports this morning... The Eagles lost again, falling to the Seattle Seahawks last night in South Philly. DK Metcalf caught 10 passes for 177 yards. Russell Wilson threw for 230 yards and a touchdown, and the Seahawks won 23-17. Carson Wentz went 25 of 45 for 215 yards. Two touchdowns and one interception. With their third straight loss, the Eagles are now 3-7-1 and fell a half a game behind the Giants and Washington in the NFC East. Up next is a game in Green Bay against the Packers on Sunday afternoon. The San Francisco 49ers will play two home games in Arizona after new coronavirus regulations put in place by officials in Northern California forced the team to find a temporary new home. The news came as COVID continues to affect the NFL. The Denver Broncos were forced to play a backup wide receiver at quarterback on Sunday, while the New Orleans Saints were fined heavily for failing to follow mask protocols. There were 70 positive tests among NFL players and staff at the end of last week, compared to 7 in the first week of the season at the start of September. And the outbreak in Baltimore led the Ravens-Steelers game being postponed again, this time to tomorrow. The game is scheduled to kick off at 3:40 and becomes the first game of the NFL season to get postponed three times. The game is kicking off at 3:40 because NBC, which is broadcasting the game, wanted to honor its commitment to broadcast the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree lighting ceremony tomorrow night. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Hi, thank you, sort of, Kathy.
Yes.
I appreciate that. So the microphone's too low and your phone line sucks. And so...
Yeah, it's a terrible phone connection, too, Kathy.
We might be able to... I mean, if we FaceTimed with her, we could just plug in here. We might be able to get a better...
maybe. Hey, we'll try anything. Hell, I'll piss on a spark plug if I think that'll work. To quote War Games. So we'll figure this out.
This is the way things are these days.
Yes,
we're having to remain fluid.
Yes.
Kathy is expected to give birth any minute now, so that's why she's at home.
Yeah, that's right. She needs to be close to home.
Yes, exactly.
There's a doula on standby.
Yes.
We'll get things ready to go. all right, so remaining fluid, that's what we're doing.
Yes.
In fact, if we have any fluid right now, pour me a shot, and I'll take it, and we'll be moving forward. We have one thing to mention today, and that's the fact that DeBruno Brothers is stopping.
Ho-ho!
Yes.
All
DeBruno
right.
Brothers Events and Catering. That's a good thing.
Things just got better.
Yeah, are they going to have some stuff for us to give away this morning?
Of course,
So we'll have your chance to win some goodies, so make sure that you stay tuned for that very opportunity. We also have a Tat Tuesday. So if you want to win a Preston and Steve themed tattoo, you can text word tattoo to 39333. We have a $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. And people are asking why Kathy is at home again. It's because of a bubonic plague that has broken out. Scheduling issues and her son and this and that. So she's got to be at home. So that's why we have this set up. So just to answer your question. So let's take a break. Why don't we? I think we deserve one. And we'll come back in a moment. We'll try to get this whole thing worked out. And the stupid question, the entertainment news, that is on the way. So stay put. We'll be back in just a moment.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
WMMR.
All right, that's a little bit better. We got the volume up. So that can work if we needed to. So.
Do you have her? I apologize for interrupting here, Preston. Do you have her for an access thing pulled up as well?
I don't know what that means.
Pot 5. Turn that down because we're getting a hiss
sound. Pot 5. Turn that down. Pot 5 is down.
Boom. Pot 5 is down.
Yay.
Yeah, we were getting a hiss sound from that.
Pot 5 down, sir.
Pot 5 down. All right. And go for Kathy.
Go. Kathy. Do you concur?
I concur. No, I don't concur. I'm hanging up and calling Rodney.
All right, so okay, go ahead. Turn her down on the board right there.
We're going to miss you for the entertainment break.
Okay, yeah, she will not be here. And, all right. What an entertainment break it will be. So here's your stupid question. What's your favorite color? Because I didn't have time to get ready and stupid question for you. 215-263-WMMR. What's your favorite color? If you can answer that correctly, we'll give you a $50 Steven Star gift card. How about that?
And we will know, by the way, so don't try to fake it.
Yeah, please. Come on, man. We think we are. All right, today's birthday is Tuesday, December 1st. We didn't flip the calendar over.
Ah, oh, son of
Tuesday,
a
bitch. December 1st. I'll go through some birthdays.
Do you have the calendar?
We do. We'll get it here in a minute. It's Bette Midler's birthday today, and she celebrates a milestone birthday at 75 years old today.
I was watching a documentary of all people about Barry Manilow.
Yeah.
And he was her music coordinator or whatever.
In New York.
Yeah, in New York. And going way back to when she would play like bathhouses and stuff like
that. Yeah, you can. There's old video footage of him just sitting behind the piano and being the guy that was, running the music side of things while she was the star.
Forever.
And then, of course, he turned out to be just a powerhouse in the world of music writing and performing. But, great voice. She's a great actress. I was watching... just a couple weeks ago, Down and Out in Beverly Hills.
Hadn't it's a seen funny
that movie.
Movie
in ages.
Nick Nolte.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
So he is 75 today. What?
You said he. When you're talking about Bette Midler.
No, he said Nick Nolte, who is also in the movie. Or did I say his birthday?
You said he is 75.
He is 75. Yeah. She is 75.
They're all 75 in a larger sense. You know, somewhere in this world, someone's 75.
Charlene Tilton. Or is it Charlene Tilton? who is Lucy Ewing on Dallas.
Preston, she just turned in a stellar performance on a segment of The Love Boat where she was Donnie Most's love interest.
Oh, really?
And when I tell you Donnie I was Most. Bawling like a baby. Incredible, incredible actress.
Steve, let me ask you a question about The Love Boat because I've been watching older shows too, during pandemic especially. Is there a part of your brain, and I ask this because it happens to me, where you think, I'm watching this in real time, like it's new to me again.
Because I remember some things,
right?
Like for example, on Sunday night, I watched back to back 3 episodes of Baywatch, and it was awesome.
And there's a part of you like I can't wait to get to work tomorrow to talk to my friends about Baywatch.
Did you see?
Right,
that it aired 28 years ago.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
So she turns 62 years old today. Nick, scoot back on those birthdays. I'm sorry, I pulled up a video here because I saw a birthday that I missed.
Who are we asking about?
It was Janelle Monáe.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she's 35, and she's, stunningly beautiful.
She is.
Great actress, too. She was in Hidden Figures, which I thought she was great in. She's been in a few other things as well.
She's in a horror movie that I have not seen. I believe it's a horror movie called Antebellum.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you know what? Our buddy Ross sent me a song from her not that long ago called Mushrooms and Roses. It's really, I never really have dug her music.
Yeah.
This really trippy, awesome kind of rock.
She does that kind of stuff?
Yeah, yeah. I was very impressed.
We're still waiting for Roz's song, you know.
35 today. Yeah, the Preston and Steve song that he put together, which was awesome. The great golfer Lee Trevino celebrates his 81st birthday today.
So, Happy Gilmore, right? Wasn't he as Lee Trevino?
Yeah, I believe you're right. He is. I've not seen that movie.
Known
in a while,
as a raconteur, right? A storyteller.
Totally. Yeah. And he's one of these guys that had a really ugly golf swing, but was one of the greatest of all time. He's 81. Candace Bushnell, who is the author of Sex and the City.
That's right.
Is 62 today.
I assume she made a ton of money off that.
You got to believe she's rolling in it. Brad Delson, guitarist for Linkin Park, is 43 years old today.
That's a party header.
So happy birthday to Brad Delson, Linkin Park, tremendously successful. In the vein of music, it's also John Densmore, drummer of The Doors, his birthday today.
I was trying to think of a good Doors drum song.
This is good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You picked a good one. I told you I had a little Doors run a couple of weeks ago. I was listening over the weekend. You kind of move in and then, okay, I'm good now, and you come back.
Yeah, if you spend too much time with The Doors,
you'll end up at
bleak.
You'll be at a seahorse party, Preston.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. You'll be the captain of it.
Seahorses forever.
John Densmore is 76 today. Sarah Silverman. Wow, big birthday for her today. She turns 50 years old.
50?
Yeah.
Still looks young.
She does, yeah. She's cool.
I'm sure I've told this before, but I saw her pretty early on in her comedy career. It was like 95, 96 in L.A., and it was vulgar. And there was a mother and daughter sitting in the front row, and they got up and walked out. it was just one F-bomb and story about her genitalia after another. And so they left, and I'll paraphrase, but as the mother and daughter were walking out, the Sarah Silverman sort of heckled back at them. She's like, so you don't like stories about my pee, huh?
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious.
I think she's got a great, I like her voice, and
it's sort of the bait and switch. You don't realize you're going to hear the stuff coming out of that voice.
Yeah, and in Ralph, the character?
Penelope.
Vanellope.
Yeah,
she's an adorable voice.
Yeah.
She's great in that. So Sarah Silverman, 50 today. Gilbert O'Sullivan.
Oh, wow.
Alone again.
Naturally. In a little while from now, if you're not feeling it. I don't know.
He's 74 today. Then you have Zoe Kravitz, daughter of Lenny and Lisa Bonet.
She's going to be in, is she playing Catwoman? Yeah, I believe she is in The Batman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. She celebrates her 32nd birthday today. So, happy birthday, everybody. Celebrating birthdays today.
Yeah.
All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. I'm going to go to Jeannie. Hi, Jeannie. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. Jeannie, what's your favorite color?
Blue.
Oh, my God, she got it.
She got it. Yeah.
Wow.
Kind of an obvious. That was a gimme.
Nice shot. All right, Jeannie, hang on. We're going to get your information. We're going to give you a $50 Stephen Starr gift card now through December 30th. Purchase $500 in gift cards and receive a $50 gift card. Then for every additional $250 purchased, receive an additional $50. Gift cards are redeemable at 27 locations, including 14 in Philadelphia. You can get them online at star-restaurants.com. Don't forget, Star is with two R's there. All right, so I was just handed a note.
Ooh, La La Land was the winner.
No. That Kathy's signal should be better now. I don't know. Let me try it. Kath, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Thank God.
What did you have to do?
I don't know. Rodney talked me through a lot of different settings, and we figured it out. We got my mic louder, and now you guys can hear me.
Well,
so if you want to go,
a hiss, but it's okay.
I might be able to turn that down. If you want, we can go back and do news.
No,
really?
No, it wasn't that good.
Yeah, right.
It was windy last night. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right, let me get into some of the entertainment stories. Laverne Cox rose to fame in Orange Is the New Black and has become an advocate for the trans community. In the process, and she was the first trans person to be nominated for an Emmy. Over the weekend, Cox reveals that she and a friend who were walking in Griffith Park were attacked. She captioned a video on Instagram saying, "We were just attacked in Griffith Park. We're fine. Be careful out there." In the video, she admitted that she was in shock. She said that she was wearing a mask and hoodie during the walk. A man approached them and asked her friend, girl or guy, and then started hitting him. She said, I don't know why it matters. At the end of the day, it's like, who cares? I'm in a hoodie and yoga pants. I'm completely covered up. I've got a mask on. Who cares if I'm trans?
How could you even tell?
How does this affect your life? I don't know. Cox recently partnered with Citi, by the way, in its True Name Initiative, a first among major banks offering transgender and non-binary customers an ability to use their chosen names instead of their legal name or dead name. So Laverne got a lot of support from celebs, including Sharon Stone, Kerry Washington, Jessica Alba, just to name a few. So it was just this random out of nowhere.
Hey, in a world where Rick Moranis gets punched.
Yeah.
Hey, she has an identical twin brother who portrayed her pre-transitioning Sophia on the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Played the same character, but is it? Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know that. Felicity Huffman is set to return to work after completing her sentence for her role in the college admissions scandal.
You knew this is going to happen. She actually become a hot commodity after stuff like this.
The 57-year-old is slated to star in a single-camera comedy with a pilot production commitment from ABC. The show is inspired by Susan Savage, the owner of the AAA World Champion River Cats. Huffman's character is described as the unlikely owner of a minor league baseball team who has to navigate her new normal following the tragic death of her husband. Zach Gottsagen, I'm not sure how you say his last name. He's from the Peanut Butter Falcon.
Yeah, he's got Down syndrome.
Plays her son on this show. Yeah.
He's really great in that movie. If you haven't seen it, it's a small indie movie with Shia LaBeouf, and he's fantastic. Zach and Shia, but both of them are.
Huffman completed her 13-day prison stint and finished her supervised release on October 25th, by the way.
So do it!
Heading back to work, yep. And she's being supported by
Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf, of course. Yeah. As the pandemic resurges across the globe, even the royal family is seeing the celebrations curtailed. New reports claim that the 94-year-old Queen Elizabeth II and her 99-year-old husband, the Duke of Edinburgh, may have to celebrate solo for health reasons.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
While Prince William and Kate Middleton
What's a bummer?
And their three children were among those hoping to celebrate with the Queen. Officials have raised concerns over whether their children might pose an undue risk of COVID exposure.
You know, he just wants to binge the Umbrella Academy.
Doctors will reportedly make the final call, and the Queen will follow their directives, sources tell reporters.
And they're at risk now because they're both over 200 years old.
They're getting close to that. The family is, according to, let's see here, says the family will sort it out between them. It will be about what's practical, the source said. Current advice in the UK includes the ability for three households to form a bubble over Christmas, but that must mean members of the bubble have not been exposed to others.
Can bubbles go caroling?
That probably not.
Christmas bubbling.
Christmas bubbling. I worry about our family and our respective bubbles because we've got, you know...
Co-bubbles?
Well, no. We all have differing opinions and philosophies on what's going on right now. And Christmas is always like a big family get-together and holiday, and it's going to be different. And
can you, with all the news that's coming as far as vaccines and stuff like that, do you know of anybody who's going to delay Christmas... Christmas in July or...
Well, I don't know about Christmas, but my mom told us over the weekend that we will be having a big family Thanksgiving in either February or March. So, it's really cool. It was her decision. You know, we couldn't get together, everybody, this year for Thanksgiving. So we're going to do a family Thanksgiving dinner at some point later in the year.
Inconceivable.
No, and it'll be fun then. And it'll be, man, will it be a cause for celebration.
Yeah,
but we usually have a get-together after Christmas. Well, we have a big get-together on Christmas with all the grandkids and everybody. Right.
Could you invite the Queen? Because she's going to be lonely.
No, we can't.
She's British.
Yeah. Bad teeth.
Well, listen, if you got to miss a year, you miss a year. Yeah. You know, it's okay. It's all right. You can make it up later on, like Nick's family's doing or whatever. If you want to err on the side of caution, it's not going to kill your family. Everything should be okay. Meanwhile, now this could kill everybody. Fans are wondering if Kate is wearing a Gucci blouse backwards.
Oh no!
Oh!
Embarrassing.
In two separate appearances.
Unless it's intentional.
Kate has worn the purple blouse with the buttons in front.
Did she join the band Criss Cross?
But in ads on models, the buttons are always in the back.
With the Looney Tunes, right?
Is that what they did? Yeah. He wore their stuff backwards.
That was their thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody Criss Cross.
But as fans point out, though, she looks pretty great either way, with it on forwards or backwards.
Hey, I know people that'll do that to kind of like... just change up the shirt, or if it's like a
like
little
wear
bit,
their pants backwards.
No, but if like the shirt's a little too low cut for them, then they'll turn it around, and now the, you know, the V goes on the back, which is a little less revealing, and it's a little higher up front. So,
so that's obviously more akin to female attire than you know, right? I mean, if you could get away with a like a plunging back line.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, Steve.
So who knows? I don't know if she's done it on purpose or not, Kath, but maybe. Kelly Clarkson has won primary physical custody of her children with her ex-husband, Brandon Blackstock. Clarkson and Blackstock will share joint physical and legal custody of their children, daughter River, who is 6, and son Remington, who is 4, with Clarkson holding primary physical custody of them in Los Angeles.
It's a lot to dole out, and this divorce has gotten...
Oh, yeah.
Acrimonious so now.
The document states that, quote, the level of conflict between the parents has increased and that the parties have a difficult time co-parenting due to issues of trust between them. Though Clarkson will have physical custody, Blackstock will FaceTime with the children every day. The document also lays out details about weekends, holidays, and school breaks.
And Blackstone's being kind of a dick because he wants custody of Kelly Clarkson's ghillie suit, which
that's hers.
Her dying grandfather gave to her,
what?
Yeah, on his deathbed.
Get your own ghillie suit, you know?
The document also states that neither parent is allowed to speak in a derogatory manner about the other parent to the children.
Yeah.
And that both will be listed as emergency contacts for the children on all school forms. Mm-hmm.
Mommy, what's a pud muncher?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's not a bad word.
On June 4th, Clarkson filed court papers in Los Angeles to end her marriage to Blackstock under her married name, Kelly Blackstock. They married in 2013. Blackstock also has 2 children from a previous marriage.
I think that Blackstock or his brother or somebody in the family was actually managing Kelly Clarkson for a while. And that's what complicated issues. Yes.
Okay. During the season 2 premiere of her show in September, the singer took some time to briefly address her divorce, suggesting that the split came as a surprise.
And they did that sort of a photo montage to sort of back up what she was saying. And they had these long, loving pictures of her ghillie suit.
And he's trying to get that.
He's
right?
Trying to get that. Oh, man, I think she wants him. Yeah, in the court of public opinion, she wants us to side with her on being able to look like a lawn.
Right. Hamilton is hoping to become the first show to reopen on Broadway after the COVID-19 lockdown. Governor Cuomo is expected to reopen Broadway in a limited capacity in June, but Hamilton would likely be the first to restart the shows with the goal opening night of July 4th.
Why don't you do NASA night at Hamilton and everyone can wear a spacesuit?
That'd be safe, wouldn't it?
Right.
In their heads, it's all about being leaders in their theater community and blazing a trail for their fellow thespians, said an insider. But the PR wouldn't hurt either. What, thespians?
Yeah. It's women who like women, right?
No, it's not.
Hot thespians. No, it's not. Oh, I'm sorry.
It'd be on the front pages.
The whole place is full of thespians.
Of the paper, so.
Needless to say, we think of the stars, but you think of the backstage people, the people who are just being decimated by all of this. It's horrible.
I now don't need to see it though live. I've seen the.
Did you watch the Disney Plus?
It was excellent.
Yeah, it was,
and that was good enough for me.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's really well done. Even as resistant as I don't know, am I going to be into this? You'll be into it. Yeah, it's really well done.
Yeah, the music's great. The story's very, very cool. So, but they're looking to get that open in July. Sometime.
And then when they appear on Bandstand in the gym, it's fantastic.
Yeah. Hillary Duff has reunited with her family over Thanksgiving after being in quarantine for exposure to COVID-19.
She's pregnant, right?
Yeah, she shared a picture from her holiday celebrations with husband Matthew Coma and her 8-year-old son Luca and their 2-year-old daughter Banks.
She let Tom Sizemore cut the turkey.
The former child star wrote, "Happy Thanksgiving." On Friday, November 27th, 1 or 2 celebrations away from getting out of 2020, she said. She is pregnant with her 3rd child.
Uncle Tom is here.
And had to quarantine due to the exposure. Ryan Reynolds is saying thanks but no thanks to having a street named in his honor earlier this month in Vancouver.
Okay.
A petition called on Vancouver's Mayor Kennedy Stewart to name a street in his honor, describing Reynolds as Vancouver's favorite son. The petition said that he, quote, deserves to have a street named after him or at least a lane, and added that he is, quote, fully deserving of this recognition in his hometown.
I think that'd be kind of cool. And it's usually, they don't take, like, Broadway and turn it over. It's like a side street.
Yeah, that's usually the case. Yeah. But I love his response. Of course, he's always got great responses. He tweeted, very kind but hard pass. If traffic sucks, everyone will say Ryan Reynolds is a mess or Ryan Reynolds is really backed up. My brothers would enjoy this too much. So he doesn't want it because of...
Have you ever been to Vancouver?
Yeah.
Beautiful city.
It's stunning.
Beautiful city.
Absolutely. I would love to get back there someday. Carrie Underwood confirmed on Thursday she is about to get into the spirit of the season with her first ever holiday special. The country star will be starring in the HBO Max special on December 3rd to celebrate the release of her upcoming holiday album, My Gift, which is set to be released on September 25th. During the special, the American Idol champ will perform with a live orchestra and backing choir, belting out a variety of traditional holiday hymns, along with more original songs off her LP. Why would this be set to be released on September 25th?
Well, they don't want to be lost in the full onslaught of Christmas specials.
This is
they
stupid.
Want to put it out a few months after.
I think this has got to be...
No, that's wrong. It's got to be wrong.
Yeah.
There's a lot more, you notice a lot more content popping up on HBO Max now?
I don't know.
A lot of
What's been coming up?
Original stuff, different new series. And they're getting ready. Of course, Justice League is going to be, you know, in just a couple months.
People were raving about that Hugh Grant, Nicole Kidman show.
They love it.
The Undoing, is that what it's called?
Oh, I have that.
Yes,
I've got
I've
that
been
coming
watching
up.
That.
Yeah, have you? Okay.
It's a murder mystery.
I have.
Yeah.
And it just
it's really
up
good.
That.
The Undoing?
Yeah, is that okay, yeah. And I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard great things.
Well, here, I'll jump to
okay.
that. Well, wait, after I wrap up this story.
Okay.
In September, the singer made history by tying with Thomas Rhett for Entertainer of the Year at the 2020 Academy of Country Music Awards. Becoming the first and only female artist to win the prestigious award three times.
Quick little observation. You remember when Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood, they all blend together.
Yeah.
Had some sort of injury or facial
thing. Oh, right.
And she, you know, you thought she was the Phantom of the Opera, was going to tear the mask
yeah.
off. We'd recoil, fall on our knees.
Right.
She looks flawless.
Yeah, as always.
Yeah.
I don't remember what that accident was.
Well, I mean, you would have thought the top half of her head was cut off. But I can't, look, we're looking at on a huge screen, her face, it looks beautiful. That's a problem? I should be so lucky.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my head in a wood chipper.
We don't know exactly what had happened. It was an accident at home. Like, she got hit in the head with something. Or some people were positing maybe that she had plastic surgery.
Oh, and then that was
covered
a cover-up. Nice call, Case.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's the way you play it these days.
Yeah, that's a good way to deflect it, right?
I don't look like this. Normally, it's for a role.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Let's see. So Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant have won a surprise battle against Game of Thrones in terms of ratings across the pond because The Undoing has beaten the numbers in the UK.
So The Undoing is beating Game of Thrones in the United Kingdom.
Had beat out their rating success.
Huh.
So David E. Kelly directs HBO's psych drama.
I've heard great things about it.
The Undoing also had solid ratings in the U.S., but appears to be a bigger hit overseas. Is it a series, Kathy?
It'll probably be a mini series. Like, they release the episodes, once a week, so you can't binge it. So I think it's like episode 5 now, and I'm up to date on it. And like this last episode, the very last scene, I was like, oh no! Like, you know, it was
they
one of those
a big
like
reveal, right?
So yeah.
It was the finale, Kathy. This past weekend.
Yeah, it was the finale.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was reading a story in my entertainment news earlier that started to tell you what the big reveal was.
No spoiler alert?
It said spoilers ahead, but write that.
You're a
reporter.
I
crumpled it up and threw it away. If it's this good, I would like to watch it for myself.
And it would ruin the whole thing for you.
Okay.
A tacit warning for anyone. Preston has the nose of a journalist.
Yes.
When he sees a story, he will go for it.
Yeah.
You can't just include that information.
Ain't
yeah.
cool.
He, you know, it's Woodward and Bernstein rolled up into one.
I may have to start watching that thing. The wife and I are looking for a show to check it. Is that on HBO Max?
HBO Max, right.
I got to get Max now.
So here's
the deal. I already subscribed to
HBO. No, if you already have HBO on your cable system, you can get HBO Max.
Where's you going to get HBO Max, though?
You have to stream it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
yeah.
You can't stream it on your Roku. because Roku and HBO are there's a pissing match right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what do I have to get?
Here's a smart TV. Like I have a
smart TV. All right, at
so
home.
You might be able to get the app on your smart TV.
Okay.
Or do this, Preston. Do what I do. Have like three or four Apple TVs, Roku's,
It's pathetic.
Amazon Firebox.
I'm tired of this. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know.
And then you never miss anything.
Yeah.
We can't.
You never watch it.
Yeah.
No, it's ridiculous. But all right, fortunately, I do subscribe to HBO.
Yeah. And that's part of the deal with Xfinity. You get the you just log right in.
Okay,
log away.
See, how about this? Chrissy Teigen is opening up about her struggles with breastfeeding in the past, and her desire to normalize all forms of feeding your baby, including formula. The cookbook author, shared her thoughts on Twitter, detailing the quote shame and guilt she felt when she struggled to produce enough milk to feed Luna and Miles, whom she shares with John Legend, of course.
This is one of these issues that I can't believe is still an issue. Like, I remember when Ben, who's 14 now, was fed by formula and my ex-wife catching a little bit of flack for that. And it was because she couldn't breastfeed properly. So in order for Ben to, you know, survive, he needed to have formula.
Well, I think people were just wanted to take the opportunity to make someone feel bad.
Yeah.
So
and it's
in the classic humanity.
Come on, man.
Well, it's something you have no control over.
I know.
But we still need to criticize you for it.
It's usually.
I think I was either me or my brother were formula. My mother had issues.
You're fine.
And totally fine. I'm bald.
Yeah. It's women on women crime, too. Like,
know.
You know, usually it's not men that are jumping in on formula.
I guess you don't love your child. That you bring that up, though, because I assume I was breastfed, but I don't really know.
You don't know? I mean, could your dad produce milk?
Stop. Who knows? He probably can do a lot.
I mean, if he can bang Janis Joplin, there's nothing he can't.
They had Janis Joplin pump for
him. Yeah.
So she said, okay, I'm going to say something, and you are all definitely going to make it a thing, but here goes. Normalize formula, she tweeted. Normalized breastfeeding is such a huge, wonderful thing. I guess that's kind of that's a movement of sorts. But
there's been a big movement on feminism in general, right? Like
I know, but what I'm saying is the phrase normalized breastfeeding is a movement of sorts. But
if a friend of mine, she's taken on to that and she just posts pictures of herself topless breastfeeding her kids.
Good for her.
Listen, I if women breastfeed in public, I have no issue with that if that's what part of this is. But
you should pay for it.
But Chrissy Teigen is saying, you know, don't do the shaming for people who use formula.
Sure, of course.
There's probably a reason for it and there's no need for you to get in a big hissy fit about it.
I think that's a fair. There are issues that surround that could be something other than. What is the perception? I'm sorry, I'm just too busy for that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times there's a medical consideration.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I think. I don't know.
Nunya.
Yeah.
Nunya. She said, but I absolutely felt way more shame having to use formula because a lack of milk from depression and whatnot. She said, people have surrogates, people have trouble breastfeeding, and all you hear as a new anxious mom is how breast is best. Normalized breastfeeding is great. Normalized formula is great, too. So, yeah, it's all. That's all. Normalized formula. Your baby is going to be beautiful, perfect, and okay, she says.
I know what she's talking about. Since my prostate surgery, I have to use bottled semen.
Oh, okay.
Well,
so
that
you
is
get
okay.
it from a donor?
Yeah.
That is
you
okay,
you have to get it from
Steve.
A donor.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, you're not using synthetic semen.
No, I'm using real semen, milked from actual men.
So
normalized bottled semen.
Bottled semen.
Right. So you throw it on your wife?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I do. Yeah.
But
on her back.
Yeah.
Okay. So what? I mean, what else would you use it for, Nick?
Oh, that's exactly. A really good question. You're right. I'm sorry I questioned you.
Yeah. Synthetic is fine, too.
I don't throw it. I use a turkey baster. Right.
Synthetic is fine, too.
Yeah.
Let's not rush to judge.
Right?
Kathy, what kind of barbarian scoops it with their hands and flings it around the room like a monkey?
Yeah, that's
no,
true.
I use
and
a turkey
you're pretty
baster.
Clean. So
I am, absolutely.
I figured.
It always lands on the tarp.
Let's see here. UK Culture Secretary Oliver Dowden wants Netflix's hit royal drama The Crown to be labeled as fiction. He said, I fear a generation of viewers who did not live through these events may mistake fiction for fact. He said, adding that while it was a beautifully produced work of fiction, it should be very clear at the beginning it is just that. He said that he plans to officially make the request to Netflix. Speaking to the BBC, former Royal Press Secretary Dicky Arbiter criticized the series for stretching dramatic license to the extreme, accused it of being a hatchet job on Prince Charles and a bit of a hatchet job on Diana. I wonder if they could present it with based on true events.
Well, here's the deal. The beginning of the Blair Witch Project, it says based on a true story. You have to do your own vetting and realize that they, as you said before, they take licenses with things. You have to watch a movie like this and say, wow, how did they know exactly what they said behind closed doors when no one else is around?
They don't.
Yeah. So you know the stuff as any critical observer should be able to discern. You don't know everything, and in a movie, they take poetic license. So, for the most part, the Crown has been lauded for its accuracy in many cases, but there's certain things they can't know.
Yeah, it's recent history, so people are more sensitive to it. But there's a documentary on Netflix right now about Diana going through some of the similar things that she went through on the Crown. When I watch the documentary, I know that's a documentary. When I watch the Crown, I know that it's a fictionalized portrayal of things that actually happened.
Right. So they want that acknowledged, I guess. So he's presenting that. All right, and then one last thing. Netflix has recruited Isla Fisher, Tim Minchin, Eric Bana, Guy Pearce, Keith Urban, Wayne Knight, and Kathy Celeste Barber.
For
Back to the Outback, an animated comedy that will drop in 2021. Celeste Barber is a comedian. She's from Australia. Casey and Kathy and I love following her on social media, and she kind of pokes fun at models in these videos, and she does parodies of them. So she's a part of this cast. Director Claire Knight said, "I have always been touched by stories of hidden beauty. Maddie is both unique, beauty and beast, and to get to present that message in comedy is icing on the cake."
Maddie!
Yes. Back to the Outback is what that is called.
Back to the Outback.
That is correct.
That should be the slogan for Outback Steakhouse.
It should be.
Back to the Outback.
Let's do the clips here. A cynical teen teams up with Santa to help stop the mysterious troublemaker from canceling Christmas in The Christmas Chronicles 2.
Yes!
Here Kurt Russell discusses being pitched by director Chris Columbus to do a musical number in the film. Here we go.
I said to Chris, there's a part of the movie here. I think we need a little something. And he said, yeah, what are you thinking? I said, unfortunately, I see like a musical scene, a musical number or something. And we started talking about it. We ended up, he found a great song that was Elvis-y. And I felt kind of comfortable with that.
He did a musical number in the first one.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're in jail. I had to actually wait because I'm watching this weekend with my wife. I really enjoyed the first one. Is it a great movie? Yeah. No, but it's a lot of fun.
And he loves Elvis, right? Did he play Elvis in another movie?
He played Elvis.
On TV.
Yeah. John Carpenter directed it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's good. Jace watched it and he liked it.
The Elvis John Carpenter film?
No. Christmas Chronicles 2.
Oh.
That is streaming now on Netflix, by the way. Here's the next clip. Nope. The Hallmark Channel is in the thick Christmas cheer with the debut of their 2020 original films. Yes. In this clip, Lacey Chabert discusses her storyline in The Christmas Waltz and where her character falls into the mix. Here we go.
Avery is planning and very close to her dream Christmas wedding when her fiancé gets cold feet. And so the wedding is canceled. But she decides, because of Roman's encouragement, Roman, who is played by Will, to go ahead and take the ballroom lessons that they had planned to take as a couple for the wedding dance.
I want to see you naked.
Christmas Waltz airs Thursday night at 10 on the Hallmark Channel. So it's a new one with her, Steve.
Danica McKellar has a new one.
I don't think we're talking to her on Thursday, Danica.
All the favorites?
Yeah. I don't think we have a new Candace Cameron Bure this year. I haven't seen one advertised.
How about a new Alicia Witt one?
Yeah, I think she's got one.
Okay.
You know, now they're doing between Hallmark and they're doing also Lifetime.
Yeah,
has their own series. Hallmark is just a pedigree, and you know. But listen, you just have to have all the right elements.
Wait, Steve, Candace has one.
She did. Oh, they've announced one.
I did see the preview. I just didn't know if it was new or not.
It's called If I Only Had Christmas.
It's the one with her in the shoes. I've seen that ad.
Okay,
I thought that was already. It might be a sequel.
It has
Steve.
To be a sequel because it's a Shoe Lover's Christmas was the first one.
But look at the picture. Look at this picture for this ad. It's her holding two red sparkly shoes. So it's got to be a sequel.
2020.
To that one.
Steve, okay. Does Ion that network have a? I think they're taking a run at these movies as well.
Are they as well?
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm. Hey, can I do? Can Preston? Preston,
yeah. Why don't you ask me and I'll ask Preston?
Can Kathy try something real quick? Because we're still getting a little bit of a hiss, and we need to do this on the air.
I don't know, Steve. Can Kathy try something?
I think so. Yeah.
Can you ask her?
Kathy, can you try something for Casey?
I can try whatever you guys want.
Kathy, can you ask Nick if you can maybe turn your volume down just a little bit? We can pot you up more on our end.
Yep.
Just see if we can lower the hiss on your end.
Okay, I'm lowering it.
That's too low.
And we're still getting the hiss.
We had technical problems earlier this morning, if you're just tuning
I'll
in.
Take the hiss.
Try to work.
Okay.
Yeah, the hiss
I'll
is
take
fine.
The hiss with the clearness, the yeah. clarity, I should
Kathy,
say.
Kathy, boost it back up.
Boosted it up.
It boosted, baby.
It's
are
boosted.
You drinking? What's going on over
I know,
there?
I should
Kathy,
believe.
Put on a Boostier.
Hey, we have to flip our calendar over.
Oh, good.
We didn't get a chance to do that earlier. What is this?
Long December.
It's a long December, bro.
Nice. So we are saying goodbye to the month of November, which featured the amazing Tatiana.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about our December, Miss December.
Yes.
Is that she was a last second addition. In fact, she was working as part of the crew.
Yeah. She was doing hair, I believe.
And we had one of our gals didn't show up. I think that was the story, right?
Yeah.
One of our
yeah.
guests. Every now and then, it happens. Yes, Kathy?
Yeah, no, we had somebody who completely just backed out, and she was there doing hair. She works for Gravity Hair Salon.
Yeah.
And Joseph from OSBX was like, all right, you want to do it? She's like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
You're in.
So she jumped in.
And she's great.
And did it.
Yeah.
For
she's
the
awesome.
Month of December, we have Tori Noel.
Yay!
Who is now in the President and Steve Totally office calendar, and she wraps up the year for us. So thank you, Tori. No, and she wasn't shy about taking stuff off.
She was not, and she was a total team player, and she did a great job with the hair, and thanks to her.
That was a great calendar that was shot at the Fillmore, I believe, is where we did that, wasn't it?
It was done at the... yes, yeah.
And,
yeah.
No?
No?
Was it the one at the dude's apartment where they had a giant bachelor party?
It was done at the Met.
Is that 2 years ago?
It was
at
the Met. That's it.
Done at the Met.
Thank you.
You should say it in the calendar.
Oh, whatever.
I'm not going to look right now.
Who wants to read it this time?
I barely made it through that entertainment break.
Her Instagram is loudmouthhair, and she's a good follow. She's a lot of fun.
All right, so thank you, and we welcome you to the month of December. It's kind of a beautiful looking morning, even though it's really cloudy.
I know it's a rough start to the show, Preston, but a gorgeous sunrise on the horizon.
Okay, well that's good. Hopefully that will be a sign of things to come, man.
Wow.
Steve says.
Wow.
Let's take a break. Don't forget, we got a Tattoo Tuesday. Your chance to win a President Steve tattoo. Text the word tattoo to 39333. You might win at some point this morning. We'll take a break and be right back.
93.3 WMMR has been to some strange places. And now we're at radio.com. Come visit.
Wow.
Hey, DeBruno Brothers came by today, so we'll do some giveaways at some point this morning. We'll have $50 gift cards to give away and celebrate their season with DeBruno Brothers' winter holiday menu available all through the month through December 31st. You can order by December 18th to guarantee your package for Christmas. DeBrunoCatering.com. That's a great idea, giving away those for, you know, I love getting, like, the meat and cheese packages.
Honestly, they have great... them. You know, great assortments.
Mm-hmm. So here we are, December 1st. That means the year-end list type things are going to start popping up. And Merriam-Webster Monday announced their words of the year.
Yay.
Right?
I my wife and I sit by the radio waiting for word to come in. And it usually comes after Little Orphan Annie wraps up.
Right. Well, I have the top 11 words of the year if you want it. You guys interested in hearing
them? And you know, I let you roll them out, but I know a large percentage of them is going to have to do with the coronavirus.
Of course.
And, yeah.
It's what's going
what's
on
used,
in the world.
It's what's looked up the most. It's what they predicate the list on.
Yeah. In fact, let me see if it describes how they determine based. Let me see what these are. It says
there is a swimsuit competition.
Let's see. Based upon a statistical analysis of words that were looked up in extremely high numbers in our online dictionary, while also showing a significant year-over-year increase in traffic.
There you go.
So that's how they determine.
So that guarantees it. So.
Yeah. Do you want me to start from the bottom and go up? Or
start from the bottom.
All right.
Leave them wanting more.
Yeah. And it's a list of 11 for some reason. I don't know why they chose 11, but
because
they
because 10 is desperate.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Oh my they God. Got Bill's
10
memo.
Is a desperate number.
Taylor made
11.
I'm on the board of Merriam-Webster now.
Okay. All right.
That's why Kerfuffle and Hom Yonkel will appear.
Oh, my God. Next year?
Next year.
What about Chortle? Would Chortle, that be on there, yes. Too? Mm. Bill loves these weird words, man.
Did we figure out that he kind of made up Hom Yonkel?
Hom Yonkel is actually, he was close. It's sort of a hybrid of words. But
they got westernized?
It's like, it's a Yiddish word.
Right. Yeah. But he didn't, he made it more Bill-like,
I actually
right?
like Bill's version of
yeah,
it more.
Yeah, I like it. I like Hom Yonkel.
All right, me too.
I told you, man, I used it for a while when we first heard that from Bill. And before I hurt my shoulder and I was playing golf, and if I would hit like a badass down the middle drive
as a Hom Yonkel.
I would say that's a Hom Yonkel right there. For some reason, I named it that. It took on that meaning. Number 11 on this list is malarkey.
Malarkey, yeah. Which right. is a Biden word.
Yeah. Joe Biden, correct.
But yes. We had talked about it before the presidential debate when he used it.
Yeah, I forgot why we were talking about that.
Because he
Kathy.
Forgot Hom Yonkel.
No, it was a funny-sounding word, Kath. And it was one of those, Preston had a whole list of words that just sound goofy and we don't
know. It was like older words that aren't used anymore.
I think, Kathy, it's old Celtic.
It's when we were talking about snazzy.
Snazzy.
I think. Remember when they said it might be better, it's less, suggestive to say, wow, you look really hot in that. Say, that looks very snazzy. when you're in the workplace. And then somehow another malarkey entered into that.
But it does like it does have derivations. And it's of Irish derivation, is it not?
Malarkey?
Yes.
Irish-American, the word seems to resonate. And it's folksy, a bit old-fashioned. The word's true origins are not clear. It resembles an Irish last name.
That's the brand of bottled semen I use.
Sometimes spelled M-U-L-L-A-R-K-E-Y, malarkey. But could also have come from Irish slang or even a similar-sounding Greek word as well. So malarkey is the informal and even euphemistic nature of malarkey may account for some of the visits to the dictionary's pages, which likely aim to answer the very basic question, is that word in the dictionary? So some people want to know if these words are actual words.
That's number 11.
Number 10.
10!
10
is icon.
We lost a number of icons this year.
We did, yes.
Going all the way back to, in the... God, who was the first in the beginning of the year?
Kobe
Bryant. Yeah, but was there someone before him I'm missing?
Well, Neil Peart, was at the very
another
beginning
icon.
Of the year.
Okay. Yeah. Van Halen, another icon.
Musical
icon. Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
She's on the list. John Lewis, yeah. So there were a number of icons that passed this year. A person who is identified as an icon is successful and admired and frequently also representative of some ideal. Like many human icons, the word's beginning was a modest one. In earliest use, it referred simply to an image. So an icon would be considered almost like a logo or something like that.
Iconic.
Eventually it referred specifically to an image of religious value, an icon being a sacred image, often one painted on a small wooden panel and used by Eastern Christians in their prayer and worship. So icon is one of the number or one of the
I wonder who's looking up the word icon.
Number nine. Hit that again, please, Casey, if you would.
Number nine.
This is the most interesting one on the list, I think. It is irregardless.
Oh. Yes.
It's not even a word.
It's had a tortured history.
It has.
Not a word, right?
Correct, Kathy.
Well,
yes.
It is now, right?
Regardless. It is now. They've put it in the dictionary.
It is. Eventually, sometimes words, even improper pronunciations of words, can become so prominent that they get incorporated into the dictionary because you can't fight. If the mass understanding of a word exists,
right.
then it's born into life.
It becomes defined.
Yes.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, ain't wasn't a word, or at least that was a saying, ain't a word. And
I think ain't is now a word.
I think ain't is now a word.
Is ain't more considered a contraction?
Well, what would it be a contraction for?
That's, I don't know.
But ain't?
Am not.
But, I mean, it's like, how do you get won't from will not?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How do you get cronut from donut?
So here you go. Irregardless, it earned a spot in the words of the year pantheon, mostly just by having the temerity to be a word.
And it kept fighting. It was the little word that could.
What is the one I've recently that I've changed over the last few years is, When people say I could care less.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's, I said that as well, but it's I couldn't care less. If you think about the words, and it's not a word, it's, you know, it's a phrase, but I could not care less.
I have more room to care less, is what you're saying. And you want to say, there is no more care. Yeah. I have no ability to care less.
But if you say,
so it's couldn't, right?
Yes. Yeah. If you say, I could care less, that means I could care less about this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Keep talking. Yeah, I've got Keep talking.
Yeah. I've got more cynicism in here somewhere.
So, for instance, when we're talking about, let's say, the Bachelor or the Bachelorette, and you know, and then I find out that I'm actually getting involved in said conversation, or I'm getting emotionally involved, I should say, I could care less about this, and maybe I should care less about it. I'm wondering if there is a way to say I could care less that actually makes sense.
There might be. Context.
Even in that construct, though, it's awkward.
Yeah. So anyway, irregardless, it says, while some deem the word's presence in this list as further evidence of how truly arduous this year was.
Arduous?
No,
odious.
Odious. What the hell does that mean?
Unpleasant.
Stinky.
Stinky.
Yeah.
Thank you. Odious this year was. We in the dictionary business know that the word qualified for inclusion here because people care about language, and that's worth celebrating. Lookups for irregardless increased dramatically in July, up 464%, when actress Jamie Lee Curtis asserted on Twitter that we had just entered the word. Ms. Curtis was wrong. We first entered irregardless, according to Merriam-Webster, in our dictionaries in 1934, and an entry for it has been at Merriam-Webster.com since the dawn of that website.
So it was before, at the beginnings of World War II.
Yeah. Wow, interesting.
When we were importing words from Europe.
By the way, going back to odious.
Yes.
Stop it. Man, I was reading, yesterday I started to read an article, a reviewer, talking about that movie that Amy Adams is in, whatever.
Hillbilly Elegy.
I get two paragraphs in, and I'm like, I have no idea what they're even saying.
Oh, I hate
they're
that.
They're using words that are beyond
There's no words on it.
My standard comprehension. Right? You have a very large vocabulary, Steve.
But here's...
And I'm like, stop it with that. Please use standard words.
To your point, Preston, critics love to flower up their reviews. And what happens is anybody who has a commanding vocabulary will tell you when you do that, you're doing that simply for show. You're not doing it to communicate. Yeah. And it actually makes you look more. It makes you look
pompous.
Pompous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Number eight on this list.
Number eight
is asymptomatic.
Yeah, of course.
These are Merriam-Webster's words of the year.
It's akin to irasymptomatic.
The word asymptomatic was looked up 1,688% more this year than it typically is.
Oh my gosh.
So they define the word as presenting no symptoms of disease.
Right.
And it was formed in the middle of the 19th century to contrast with symptomatic, a word that predates it by more than a century.
Hydromatic,
asymptomatic, odious.
That's exactly where my brain went, man. That's exactly where my brain went.
It's asymptomatic. Bam.
We need those horn kicks.
Yes.
Dan. Irregardless. Damn.
We need.
She's
the,
on it.
Okay, thank you. Just the horn kicks. Bang.
Iconic. Bam. Malacocious.
Taciturn.
Damn.
Both words can be traced back to Greek.
Pudding.
Greek yogurt.
Greek yogurt. Yes.
Sympeptein, which is C Y M P I P T E I N, meaning to happen.
Okay.
The prefix A means not or without. So asymptomatic is number eight on this list. All right, number seven.
Oh, here we go.
Seven.
Thank you. Now, if I'll mispronounce this and you don't like it, you can suck it. All right, here we go. Schadenfreude?
I think it's Schadenfreude.
Okay.
Okay, it's like Farfignugan. It has that sort of use.
Says it's a word lover's word, one that pops up in spelling bees and vocabulary tests all the time. This is partly because it is hard to spell and partly because it is fun to say out loud, although its pronunciation isn't necessarily easy to discern for an English speaker. In fact, this entry, audio pronunciation, is one of the most clicked on in their online dictionary. It says Schadenfreude is how you do pronounce it. Yes. The word is perhaps also popular among wordies because of its specific and slightly malicious meaning, which is enjoyment obtained from the troubles of others. It had a spike in lookups in March when news of the collegiate admissions scandal broke. But the biggest single spike this year took place on October 2nd when it was announced that Trump had contracted the coronavirus.
Right.
An example of this use came in the form of a headline from USA Today. Donald Trump's coronavirus infection draws international sympathy and a degree of schadenfreude.
Right, and farfignugen.
And such uses create a spike of 24,800% compared to last year's lookups. Schadenfreude.
Oh. I got it.
You're going to have to.
Yeah. Hold on. Schadenfreude. Malarkey. Iconic. Hegemonic. Irregardless.
Oh, yes.
Quarantine.
Know what I mean?
We need those on hotkeys.
I need them on hotkeys.
Which is a quick way to get to them. So
yeah. Recalcitrant.
All right.
Omnipotent.
I'm not ready. God damn it.
Okay.
Omnipresent.
Do you do a word and then rhyme a word with that word, or do you just do the list?
We should just, at the end of this, do the list.
Okay.
When we complete the list.
All right, let me go through
and,
this.
It won't be as good, but it'll be accurate.
Okay. All right, number six.
Oh great. Hang on a second.
Number six.
All right. Number six. Antebellum.
Number six.
Oh, man. It's hard. He's just got these.
Yeah. He's gonna have to get them over into this other thing. So, yeah. Case, we'll work on this.
Yeah. We said Antebellum earlier because of the
Janelle Monáe
movie.
Oh, that is correct.
Yeah. Pre-war.
It was looked up in significantly higher numbers for two distinct reasons in 2020. The first jump in lookups came in June when the band Lady Antebellum would now officially be called Lady A. The second increase came with September release of a movie that uses the word as its title. These two events made for a year-over-year increase in lookups of 885%.
You remember that Lady A issue? Because so they Lady Antebellum becomes Lady A. It turns out there's already an artist named Lady A.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no kidding.
And yeah. I think they sued her out of her own name.
So it means Antebellum comes from the Latin antebellum, meaning before the war or simply existing before a war, and it's used specifically to mean existing before the American Civil War.
Right.
So
you hear the antebellum South, that's what they're talking about.
Correct. So that's where that came up. So that was number six on the list. We now go to number five. Thank you. Quarantine.
Quarantine.
One of the words of the year.
Actually, also, Preston, for you and I, one of our favorite movies.
Yes. It is a great movie. Jennifer Carpenter.
Yes, who you're now watching in Dexter.
Dexter, correct, yes. So I think that speaks for itself. And I didn't get to go through this full list ahead of time, gang, so I apologize.
Quarantine, though, usually is the removal of people from a group.
Correct.
When you have an entire population, is there another variation on quarantine that...
Here's their definition. Quarantine means a state of enforced isolation designed to prevent the spread of disease.
Okay.
So it doesn't mean separation, but it means isolation. So, you know.
Isolation?
Separation? Constipation? Reprobation?
Stagnation? The French word quarantaine, T-A-I-N-E, means about 40, and it was borrowed in the late 1400s with a meaning...
You know, I'm just chilling out in my quarantine.
With a meaning of a period of 40 days. It later blended with the Italian word quarantena.
Where you been? Well, you know, I'm just hanging out my quarantine.
Meaning isolation of a ship to protect the port city from potential disease.
Right.
The Italian term was first used during the pandemic of bubonic plague in the 14th century. Quarantine... is also used as a verb in English and a use that dates back to the early 19th
century. By the way, shouldn't that be a chocolate drink?
quarantine.
Quarantine, well, along with Ovaltine?
And, or an orange drink, you get Quarantang.
Quarantang.
Quarantine was looked up 1,856% more frequently in 2020 than last year. Hmm. So hence the list, the addition to the list.
By the way, I finally saw the trailer for The Stand yesterday. I know you guys watched it as well, and it's really interesting to see. There's a line in it or in the trailer where he says, in these uncertain times,
yes.
Just
yeah.
the parallels between oh, yeah. everything that's going on with the pandemic and The Stand coming out. I think it's going to do really well.
That's why when this started, I got my mask,
yeah.
which I have right here, which has The Stand on it because, oh. you know, it was about a pandemic, but that was a really, really, really bad one.
There's like, apparently,
everybody died.
There is apparently on Netflix and I got to get the title of it, but it's a series out of Spain, I think, that involves a post-quarantine, like, apocalypse.
Okay.
That has elements of The Stand.
Okay.
And they shut down, you know, it has to do with, obviously, the lockdowns and things of that nature. It was done before any of this, but they say it's incredibly pertinent to what we're going through.
Is it called The Last Days? Steve?
That might be it.
Okay.
All right, number four on this, on this list is... Kraken.
Unleash the Kraken.
That is correct.
From Clash of the Titans, also used now by Sidney Powell, the attorney.
And it's an NHL team.
Yeah, and that's the reason, Nick, that they chose this. Apparently, that threw it into the top the searches for the word increased 128,000% that day.
Huh. Have you ever seen the various depictions of the Kraken? It ranges everything from everything like a large octopus... To like the creature depicted in Clash of the Titans, which
yeah.
is, has more of a human, well, not a human, but a, like a monster head. And...
Yeah, I think the more classic version is like a giant squid or yeah. something along those lines. But yes, they've
Forrest Tucker into, with a fin.
Into a bunch of different versions of that. But the Kraken is a mythical Scandinavian sea monster.
Mm.
The word which comes from
Seahorses forever.
From Norwegian dialect.
You see the Kraken.
Has been used in English since the middle of the 18th century.
Perseus, what do you want? I want to unleash the Kraken.
Krakens have been featured in various contexts more familiar to English speakers and Scandinavian folklore, including various iterations of Krakens in Marvel Comics.
Yes.
And a memorable monster in Clash of the Titans.
And then, of course, there was his sister beast, Phil McCracken.
Phil McCracken. The phrase has gone on to enjoy a life of its own, with Release the Kraken being attached to memes as occasions warrant.
I think Kraken is a cool team name.
I love it.
Yeah. I think it is.
I thought that was a good
choice. I think they should employ more of that.
Yeah. All right. Number three.
Number three
is Mamba.
Mamba. Oh, there you go.
Kobe.
Yeah.
Mentioned Kobe earlier.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. And Mamba refers to any of several chiefly arboreal, venomous, green or black elapid snakes.
It
genus
is a little...
Denporaspis.
He gave himself the nickname.
He
and
did.
Kobe is one of the greatest basketball players of all time, and I grew to like him over the years. I disliked him for a stretch because he sort of turned his back on Philly. And
then
I really gained
an
appreciation for how incredibly talented he was. I don't like it when people give themselves their own nicknames.
You're not supposed to do that.
No. I agree, but I agree also on giving him the pass.
Okay.
Yeah. Because that's...
don't want to dance on a guy.
Mainly right, because he's dead.
Right.
Yeah. Had he been alive,
we'd be all over his crap.
Mm. Back up off him, Nick.
Yeah.
Mamba...
Shut the hell up.
...spiked in lookups...
On the President of the C-Show this morning, Nick McElwain observed how much he loathes Kobe Bryant, even in passing.
No.
Mamba spiked in lookups on the day of Bryant's tragic death, with users looking up the word 750% more than it's typical.
You also have to realize, too, when you're at that level of sports star, and the family now owns the trademark,
Black Mamba,
right? So there are lines of, swag and things that are associated with that. So if you can give yourself the name...
They had the Lakers had a third jersey, City Edition jersey that came out this year.
It was called
the Black Mamba jersey, and it was badass. It was really cool looking.
Cool stuff.
All right, number two.
Number two.
At number two.
Number two is defund.
Okay.
The word was key in the many conversations about how to address police violence as activists called for defunding of police forces. And others tried to understand what that in practicality would mean. Overall, defund was looked up 6,059% more this year than last year. It is defined in Webster's as to withdraw funding from.
There you go.
The word is a recent addition to English. It's only in use since the middle of the 20th century. It's a
fairly, I didn't know that.
Fairly new name.
Huh.
And then we move on to number one.
And it's pretty obvious, right?
Coronavirus.
Yeah.
Is number one. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't know that coronavirus was a standard.
I thought it was pandemic.
Yeah, I thought it was pandemic,
wait
too.
Wait a second.
What the hell is this?
No.
Okay, so that's word of the year. This is the top. This is what comes in just below those.
Right. Oh, okay.
All right. So gotcha.
So it's the first runner up.
Number one leading up to the word of
the
year.
It's axiomatic.
Is
problematic. Other things that end with attic. Up in the attic.
Rarely has a word, this is coronavirus, moved from the jargon of medical professionals to the general public's everyday vocabulary as quickly as coronavirus. Though not a new word, coronavirus rocketed from obscurity to ubiquity in a span of just a few weeks. The word was largely ignored as the year began, but that changed on January 20th with the announcement of the first U.S. case of COVID-19.
Yeah, I didn't realize. I thought coronavirus in the beginning was the
COVID-19.
Was COVID-19.
Right.
So, and then I didn't realize it until I was buying like antibacterial sprays and stuff like that when you're reading what it kills.
Right.
And coronavirus is one of the things. When it says it kills 99.9% of bacteria, coronavirus is one, like H1N1.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So it is a virus, but COVID-19 is the specific name of this.
COVID-19?
Strain. Yeah. So the word was largely ignored, as I said.
Did I already read that? COVID-19!
But that changed on January 20th. And it was looked up a staggering 562,551% more this year than last year.
162,000%?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. 162,551% more this year.
Well, of course.
Their definition, let's see.
I tell you, I am so sick of the COVID. The image of the actual microscopic.
I still think it's kind of pretty.
No. Yeah. It's worn out. It's welcome.
There's even an emoji for it.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
So it was given its name in 1968 by a group of research virologists who noticed that under a microscope, the virus resembled a solar corona.
Yeah.
Visible during an eclipse. So that's why it got its name. Both SARS and MERS are examples of coronaviruses.
Right.
Yep. All right. And then this is the word of the year.
All right. So we need a fanfare.
It is. Well, we already said it, but it's pandemic. And it says sometimes.
Pandemic?
Yeah.
Esoteric?
Yeah.
Come on, you mother effer. I'm hitting the button.
There it is.
Inconsequential. Deferential.
So according to Merriam-Webster, sometimes a single word defines an era, and it's fitting that in this exceptional and exceptionally difficult year, a single word came immediately to the fore as they examined the data that determines what their word of the year would be. Based on statistical analysis of words that are looked up in extremely high numbers in their online dictionary, while also showing a significant year-over-year increase, the word of the year is pandemic, of course.
I have to say, you know, it's funny. Because you always have the definitions right at your hand. Whenever you're writing, you know, right now they make it easier than ever. If there's a word that you come across in text, you know, like on the Mac, you just on the pad, you just hold your two fingers down, highlight that word, and then the definition will come up. So I have to assume that that's improved people's vocabularies as opposed to making people lazier, right? I mean, if you have that volume of information right at your fingertips,
yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, but people resist, too. Yeah. You know, they don't want to learn new words. But I don't know. I like looking words up. I find, you know, I read, not Animal Farm.
1984?
No, Animal Farm.
Animal Farm?
I was thinking 84, and then, anyway, I had to look up a whole bunch of words while reading it. And that's a relatively easy book to read, but to me, it just helps to improve your vocabulary.
It's an amazing book.
Yeah.
It is a great book.
I love it.
But I've been, now I look words up.
Yeah.
Like, if I don't know what that means, and I've heard it over and over many times, just never taking the time to look at them, it's about time I learn what that word means.
Yeah. You
know? All right, so to recap the list.
Yep.
All right. Malarkey. Icon, irregardless, asymptomatic, schadenfreude, Antebellum, Quarantine, Kraken, Mamba, Defund, Coronavirus. Why is pandemic?
Get the motor.
Pandemic, go pandemic. All right. Those are the words of the year, gang. In case you were curious.
Here I have a whole bunch of transitions.
Yes, you do. All right, and with that, we're taking a break. Thank you. We'll come back in a moment. We have some bizarre file stories. How about we set you up? I got a $50 gift card right now to DeBruno Brothers.
Ooh, nice.
We'll take caller number 13. All right, 215-263-WMMR, and you will get the goods. And don't forget, you can send their packages through DeBrunoCatering.com, and they have a full winter holiday menu available all through the month.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, but order by December 18th, you guarantee your package for Christmas. So what number did I say?
I don't know.
All right, caller.
Listen to the podcast.
15, 215, 263.
18?
13. Not 15. 215-263-WM. This goddamn microphone thing
has
thrown me off all morning already. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. And yes, we will get to your bizarre file stories. So stay with us.
WMMR.com, the website for everything that rocks. Music news, events, photo galleries, contests, MMR gear in the rock shop, and more. All at WMMR.com.
Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by your local Confidence Plus Service Center. When your car needs service, head to your local Confidence Plus Service Center for trained, experienced technicians and a national warranty covering parts and labor. Info and locations at myconfidenceplus.com. A Chicago man has been charged with murder after a fatal fight that began when he put his hands in the Thanksgiving leftovers.
Oh, my God! What, the mashed potatoes?
Murder. James Dixon is charged with killing Vincel Jackson, who was the boyfriend of the Thanksgiving party host. Jackson was trying to escort Dixon out of the house because he had put his hands in leftovers early on Friday. The fight moved out to the porch, where Jackson was stabbed 9 times.
My God.
All right, I'm going to take an unpopular angle on this. I don't think you should stab someone to death over doing stuff like that.
Well, actually, the dude who stabbed the guy is the guy who put his hands in the Thanksgiving.
So the stabber is the violator?
The stabber is the violator. He
unbelievable.
He was being escorted out.
And he stabbed.
He killed the guy.
He had to protect himself. They may have changed the names, and it's actually my mom and dad, because my dad did that on Thanksgiving. My mom was like, it is a different time right now. Get your fingers out of the food.
Wow.
And he was like, everyone's done. And my mom was like, I don't care.
I should have married Janis Joplin.
Dixon fled but was caught with a blood-covered knife. Judge set bond.
Oh, it's cranberry sauce.
$350,000.
Jeez.
The story of the monolith in Utah continues to get a little bit more deep before disappearing. Of course, it was now, it's taken a more bizarre turn. Reports coming out of Romania suggest that an identical monolith, possibly the same one, has appeared in the city of Piatra Neamț.
It's up on a hill, right?
It's not the same one.
It's not.
The mysterious metal structure was found a few meters from the well-known archaeological landmark, Petrodava Dacian Fortress. The Dacian Fortress Petrodava represents the oldest historical monument in Piatra Neamț.
Neamț? Yeah.
Neamț. It is believed to have been destroyed by the Romans in the 2nd century AD, but the remains can still be seen today from in the forms of parts of the city wall. The shiny triangular structure reportedly has a height of about 12 or 13 feet, and one side faces Mount Kailua, known locally as the Holy Mountain.
Right.
It is one of the most famous mountains in Romania, and it's listed as one of the 7 natural wonders of the country.
Along with Mount Sambuca.
The cultural and heritage official, Roscana Jazanu, said that we have started looking into the strange appearance of the monolith. It is on private property, but we still don't know who the monolith's owner is yet. It is in a protected area on an archaeological site. Before installing something there, they needed permission from our institution, one that then must be approved by the Ministry of Culture.
And so no one as of yet has claimed it.
So the Romanian object was first spotted on Thursday, November 26th. The Utah object was first seen on November 18, was reported missing on November 27th, but nobody knows exactly when that was taken. So.
It looks terrible. It looks like somebody just kind of like welded it together. It looks like if I were to put together a monolith.
Okay.
Like a substandard monolith.
Totally terrible.
I can't believe it's a monolith.
Yeah.
A crazy YouTuber decided that it was a good idea to scale a bridge and then to jump from the very top, and it did not go well. Sa Famba told his fans his goal was to chase his dreams and, quote, leave a mark. Leave a mark is what he did when he hit the water with thunderous force. Oh, he climbed the Pennybacker Bridge high above the Colorado River. And you see him on the top of the bridge throwing his fists up in the air as he waited for a boat with rescuers to show. Once it did, he made the leap and got fully submerged. A few seconds later, he reappears, and apparently the rescuers realized Fumbo was hurt and called EMTs. Fumbo said that he suffered a fractured skull and was taken to the hospital for treatment. His video caption reads, "You might see it as jumping for views, but I see more. I wasn't built for just normal. I'm a dream chaser. Yeah. He can barely speak. I don't settle for less. I will leave my mark on this planet we call Earth or our home.
Oh, Sa Famba.
Chase yours and leave your mark," he says.
Yeah. Right.
There's a big blood stain on the water.
Sa Famba.
A man who broke into a home and attacked his estranged girlfriend on Saturday morning was fatally stabbed and beaten with a golf club after the victim's mother and adult sister intervened.
Oh, my God.
They beat this dude
with a golf club.
Death, yes. Officers responded shortly before 10 a.m. to report of domestic violence. The officers arrived to find one of the home's front windows shattered and heard women screaming inside. Police entered the residence and discovered a man in his 40s who had been gravely injured. Firefighter paramedics arrived at the scene and pronounced the man dead. He was later identified as Justin Goss. An investigation indicated that while the intruder was in the process of beating and choking the female victim, her mother and sister came to her aid. During the struggle, the suspect was stabbed and beaten with a golf club.
Ooh, it's amazing, though. Yeah. A golf club.
Oh, yeah. You kidding?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially using iron. They're really, really heavy. The man's estranged girlfriend was taken to a hospital and treated for facial injuries, and she was later released from the medical facility. So mom and sis came in, saved her, killed this dude. Wow. All right. And we'll end it right there. That is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. Don't forget, we have a Tattoosday. It's a chance for you to win a $350 tattoo or it's a certificate for a fat tattoo from Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. So text the word tattoo to 39333. If you want to check out their artwork, go to Instagram and type in Floating World Tattoos. You'll find it. They are located at 1729 South Street in Philadelphia. Get on that. We'll have a winner by the end of the show. We'll be back in just a moment.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
With more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Notice something I forgot. I saw this yesterday. My son had called me as I was leaving work, and he's like, "Dad, the light just heads up. There's a storm coming through. Lights are flickering on and off." I'm like, okay, thanks. And I was on Blue Route northbound, and coming in the southbound lanes, right at the Metroplex, right in the Plymouth meeting area, there was a tractor trailer that was jackknifed and facing the opposite way.
Oh.
So this was... It had to have been because of the wind, I'm guessing.
No, it happened before all of that. I mean, it was, I think, because of the weather, but it was before, it happened before those strong winds came through. So I don't know exactly the cause of it, but I mean, it was closed for a while.
The way that it looked, it didn't make any sense to me.
Was he doing donuts?
That it was facing the other way. So I thought,
well, you know what,
I was wondering if the wind might have pushed it off.
I mean, maybe, I'm not, I got home yesterday and the winds at least didn't start until a little bit after that. But I don't know, maybe there had been heavier winds earlier in the day when we were still at work. So I'm not exactly sure, but it was a mess in Plymouth Meeting yesterday. The Blue Route was closed and then there was an accident on Germantown. It was a pretty bad accident. I mean, totaled the car. It looked like the people were okay, but that it had Germantown backed up. Like people couldn't get on the Blue Route. They were trying to use Germantown as an alternate and then there was an accident there. Like it was a mess in Plymouth Meeting yesterday.
Yeah, flooding all over the place. Yeah, it was pretty nasty for getting around.
Your area was flooded?
Yeah, there were lots of times where I had to, you know, go over into the opposite lane to go around big puddles out in the water. And
so when I was in
yards were deep with water. Yeah,
when I was in Manayunk, we lived right by the 100 steps. So you go down and you were at a safe height. But after a downpour, I love to go down and look at the creek. Yeah. Then became a raging river. You were safe. You were up high enough.
Yeah.
I think you have an area near you where
several where there's storm drains.
And go watch.
And it comes gushing through there. Yeah. You're like, man, if I fall in there, I'm dead.
You're gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's some dangerous stuff. Wow. You know what? We have some stuff to give away, and we have a game that I meant for us to play at Camp Out for Hunger, but we ended up having so many guests and so many things going on that we ended up not doing it.
It's the curse of being so entertaining.
Yeah. I think that we should do it now, and it's the backwards audio game. It's called Bass Ackwards.
Yes.
And so everything that Casey and I put together is all food-related because we were going to do it at Camp Out for Hunger.
Well, it'll still work. We need a contest, Tig Old Biddies.
Tig Old Biddies.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah, well, let's work on that.
What do we do?
Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
I'm going to work on it.
215-263-WMMR. Essentially, I record something, saying it phonetically backwards, then we reverse it, and it reveals what it is. If you can figure it out by hearing me phonetically say it backwards, then you might win a prize.
All right. All food-related, obviously. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's still, listen, we're still in the time of plenty.
Yeah. He is so good at this, by the way. He'll say it forwards, and then we play it backwards, so he sees what he has to say, what it needs to sound like.
Right,
and he nails it like almost every single time on the first try.
I write it down phonetically, and then I take a shot at it.
Okay,
sometimes it turns out well, and other times it's like that's a little weird.
I like them both.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Camp Out for Hunger, while we're getting our callers on the line, we have some a new total to announce because we were waiting for the end of. The wrap-up to the Head Start, or it ended up being going through the Camp Out for Hunger with Acme, so there have been some more numbers that have come in money-wise. But before I get to that, Steve had forwarded this story to me about Phil Abundance. They recently lost just under $1 million to essentially a cyber theft.
No,
no way.
$923,533. It happened in July.
Yeah, the story was on the Inquirer this morning.
It was to pay a construction bill for their community kitchen. And apparently sometime in the spring, they infiltrated the group's computer system through a phishing scam and then put in controls that blocked legitimate emails from getting through.
It's horrible.
And the final step was a spoofing email that mimicked an invoice from the construction company. Philemon has made a payment on July 6th, and they discovered the theft on July 24th because the company got back to them and was asking where the payment was.
Oh.
And they said, well, we already paid it. And they said, no, you didn't. And they found out that it was a cyber crime. The organization has since been able to make the construction payment because they had reserves. But apparently the fraudulent transfers like this are the second most common type of cyber attack, according to the Insurance Information Institute. So they got scammed out of all that money. So the Camp Out for Hunger is going to cover that and more. Because we are happy to announce that the monetary contributions now with the additional monies that came in from Acme are in the excess of $1.7 million.
Unbelievable.
Wow. $1.7 million. It's, it's pretty awesome. So it's yummy dummy. It's badass. It's super hydroelastic. I'm just making
bombastic. and elastic.
So that's huge.
It is.
So thank you, everyone. Once again, $1.7 million.
Listen,
and 2.5 million pounds of food.
A lot of ground to cover, obviously. And hopefully the plan is to put as much excess on the shelves for, you know, what's going to be coming.
Yeah.
And wow. But that is just tremendous. Unbelievable. And again, Acme and Subaru and all the countless others, you specifically, because you donated and you made it happen.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable.
All right, so we're
axiomatic.
We are going to try.
Never traumatic. I use a bass-o-matic.
We're going to try out this game now, Bass-ackwards. And we need callers on the line, 215-263-WMMR. These are all food-related things. I tell you what we'll do. We'll let you take a guess at it. If you need a hint, we'll try giving a hint. Now, I didn't write down any of these hints.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to do my best.
That's fine. We'll improv. We're fluid, you know, like the waters, like sands through an hourglass.
That's right. Let me go to Matt. Hey, Matt, how you doing, bud?
I love you too.
All right, Matt, we're going to try out Bass Ackwards. I'm going to play this clip of me saying a food phrase phonetically backwards. And if you can identify what it is, I'll give you a hint if you need one. But first, let's have you listen to it. You ready?
All right, let's do it.
All right, here we go. Here's the first one for you. Slob meme that we didn't get.
Wow.
I'll give it to you again. Here we go. Slob meme that we didn't get.
And it's a food phrase, right?
Yeah.
You're going to need a hint. All right, I will tell you this. It is a pasta and meat dish.
Okay.
I'll play it for you one more time. Slob meme that we didn't get.
Is it spaghetti and meatballs?
Well, let's find out. All Casey, right. Let's see what it is forwards. Spaghetti and meatballs. Yes! Yay! Yay! Slob meme that we'd have get. Spaghetti with meatballs.
Yes, I'll have some.
Meat up gems. Spaghetti with meatballs. All right, Case, what are we going to give Matt?
Oh, man, Matt. Steve's going to want to take this from you. It is a digital download of the action classic Blade as a half-vampire, half-mortal man becomes a protector.
Awesome.
Of the human race. You can own it on 4K, Ultra HD, and digital today.
Was that Tracy Lord's first non-porn movie? It was one of her first
She
ones.
Had actually done a miniseries of Stephen King, The Tommyknockers.
Yeah.
And a few others, but Blade came a little bit later. But
maybe
her first theatrical.
I thought it was first.
Yeah.
All right, we'll try another.
Oh, she did Crybaby.
We'll try it. That's right. It was probably Crybaby. Let me go to Jeff. Hey, Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Jeff. We're gonna play the Bass Ackwards clip, and if you need a hint, you let me know. Okay, you ready?
You got it. Ready. All right,
here we go. Sneewolafub. All right, I'll play it for you again. Listen closely. Sneewolafub.
I'm clueless. Can you give me a hint?
Yes, I will. This is a delicacy that comes from a city in upstate New York that bears its name.
Cheeseburger.
That's a great town. No, you ever get a chance to vacation in Cheeseburger?
Gotta let you go.
I know
Jeff.
What city it is.
You do? Okay, I'll play it. Listen. Sneewolafub. All right, let me go to Tom. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Hey.
All right, Tom, do you need to hear it again?
I think Buffalo, but I don't know. I'm trying to sound it out in my head.
It's a food. These are all wings. Say that again.
Buffalo wings.
He's right. Let's hear it. That was kind of a giveaway clue, right? Yeah.
I got Buffalo, but I kept hearing lens, and I'm like,
Buffalo lens.
It? Here we go. Buffalo wing.
Wingy.
Buffalo
wing. It sounds similar to my Ramdog. Yeah, so Buffalo wing.
What will you have, sir?
Buffalo leg.
Buffalo wing.
Is your friend all right?
What do we have for Tom?
Well, Tommy.
Tommy want wingy.
You have a $50 DeBruno Brothers Events and Catering gift card.
Buffalo wings.
You can check them out at DeBrunoCatering.com.
All right, that's for Tommy.
Yeah.
Tommy got wingy.
Tommy has wingy.
All right.
Tommy want wingy.
We'll try Chris out. Hey, Chris, how you doing, man?
Morning, guys.
Morning, sir.
All right.
All right. Here is the next one. Backwards. Phonetically, backwards. Here we go. Slordwin Hunemar. Play that again for you, and then you'll let me know if you need a hint. Everybody's going to need a hint. I'm just doing this to kill some time. Here we go. Slordwin Hunemar. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, Case. Do you need a hint?
Yeah, I need a hint. Yeah, okay. I need a hint.
This is a college dorm room delicacy. And I'll play it for you again. Yeah. I'll play it for... What? Hang on, listen. Slordwin Hunemar. And what is your guess?
Ramen noodles?
Ramen noodles. Let's find out.
Ramen noodles.
Yes! You know, the game is very playable because what you have to listen for in your bass-ackwards pronunciation is the final letter and work your way back.
Yeah.
So that, there's your... With the clue, that's your tip-off. Now, sometimes... You can get a little bit more of the word, but that's your step-off point.
All right, Chris, here's what we got for you.
All right, we got a digital download of Buddy Games. Josh Duhamel stars and directs in this wild and hilarious no-hold-bar comedy featuring Dax Shepard, Olivia Munn, and Nick Swartzen. Six lifetime... Lifetime friends. Six lifelong friends reunite for an insane competition of of absurd physical and mental challenges for a chance to win $150,000. You can buy it or rent it today on digital and DVD rated R from Paramount Pictures.
Ramen know-it-all.
All right. We'll get our next, caller on the line. It's Eileen. Hello there, Eileen.
Good morning.
All right, Eileen, we are playing Bass Ackwards. I have a food-related reversed word or phrase for you here. You ready?
I am. Let's go.
Listen closely. Here we go. Skick-bar.
Wow.
It's short. Let me play it again. Skick-bar.
Skick-bar.
Do you need a hint?
I think I may, yeah.
Okay. These are a Maryland specialty?
Sure.
Okay.
Maryland specialty. Okay. Yeah. Can I hear it just one more time?
Absolutely. Here we go. One more time. Skick bar.
That second one stopped me. I don't know. I'm just going to have to guess and say Maryland specialty, so let's go with crab cakes. I don't know.
Crab cakes. I don't know. Let's see.
Crab cakes.
Yes!
Well done, Eileen. Yeah, you got it right. It was Carrie. Yeah, I'll play it for you one more time. Crab cakes.
Crab.
And what'll you have, sir?
Crab cakes.
It was my first choice. I wanted buffalo wings.
Hang on, Eileen. You have won a digital download of the action classic Blade. As a half vampire, half mortal man becomes a protector of the human race. You can own it on 4K Ultra HD and digital today.
All right. We will go. What would you like for dessert, sir?
Boston cream pie.
Boston cream pie? Let me go next to Eric. Hi there, Eric.
Hey, Preston, how you doing?
Doing great. All right.
Oh, hang on a second. Yeah. I wasn't ready for this guy. Here we go.
Eric!
Oh, there we go. All right, Eric. We're going to play one of these Bass Ackwards for you. They're food-related. Listen closely. I'll give you a clue in a moment, okay?
All right.
All right, here we go. Asneep Neonora Pepper. All right, let me play that again. Here we go. Asneep Neonora Pepper. Okay. Now, Case,
can I have a clue?
Yes. Yeah.
I think I know it, but can I have a clue?
Yeah.
Wow.
He thinks he knows it.
Asneep Neonora Pepper.
Well, let me... I just want to hear your answer real quick. What do you think it might be?
Yeah.
Pepper?
I'm sorry?
Stuffed pepper?
Stuffed pepper. No, it is not that. I will tell you that.
Nice try, though.
It is a nice try. I almost said the answer.
let's see. What is a good hint for this, Casey? When Domino's will get you one of these in 30 minutes or less.
A deep dish pizza?
Deep dish pizza is what you're going with.
Yeah.
No, that's incorrect. Sorry, buddy. That's a pretty good clue, but...
No, thank God.
Let me go to Michelle. Michelle.
Hi.
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 How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Come here.
Oh, gosh.
Obviously, right. There's something between us.
Michelle, did you hear the clue?
Yes, I did hear the clue.
Okay. I'll play the clip for you again, all right? You ready?
Okay.
Sneep Neonora Pepper.
Oh.
And Domino's.
Right?
Now I got it.
Now you got it, right?
I wouldn't have without the clue.
Okay. Yeah. So it kind of doesn't give it away completely, but if you listen closely, you might be able to put the two together. Here we go. Sneep Neonora Pepper.
I'm going to say stuffed crust pizza.
Stuffed crust pizza is incorrect.
Ah.
Sorry about that. Let's go to John. Hey, John.
Hey, thanks for having me on the Gaka Poopadop Gaka Poppadop. Killed it.
That wasn't even close.
He says he killed it. He killed it.
All right, John. Do you know what it is?
Can I hear it one more time?
Absolutely. Remember, Domino's will get you in 30 minutes less or less. Here we go. Sneep Neonora Pepper.
My best guess is going to be pepperoni pizza.
And that's a good guess. All right, let me play it for you. Here's the forward. That was a hard one to do.
Well, pepperoni,
man.
Pepperoni is a tough one.
It's hard to pull off. Pepperoni pizza. As good as I can get it.
Did you say pepperoni pizza?
All right, what are we going to set him up with?
All right, for you, John, we have a $50 DeBruno Brothers Events and Catering gift card. You can check him out at DeBrunoCatering.com.
By the way, they brought a bunch of stuff here, too.
Oh, my God.
I haven't been in. I was smelling it earlier, but I need to go take a
look. Tremendous.
I got a lot of meat.
They brought a charcuterie.
Oh, yeah.
From what I understand.
I'm interested in the cheesery.
Ooh, yeah. And chocolate and bourbon tarts.
I'll tell you what, it's a perfect day to start a juice cleanse.
How many days are you doing, Case?
I'm just doing three. So if you can just leave tomorrow. Things for 3 days.
Marissa, they brought you a vegan Kennett Square mushroom lasagna as well. So thank you to DeBruno Brothers. All right, let's get another one on the line, and we will go to, I believe it was Sherry that is next. Hey, Sherry.
Hi.
Hi, we're playing Bass Ackwards. Are you ready?
I am.
All right, see if you can identify this food. Catch sheesh.
Wow.
Yeah, let me do that one again. Here we go. Catch sheesh. And I had to make that, like, thing at the beginning to get it.
Sounds like a sneeze.
Would you like a clue?
Yeah.
All right, this one, if I give you this, it should be pretty easy.
All right.
Philadelphia. Let me play it for you again. Catch siege.
And Philadelphia.
Food and Philadelphia. What do you think?
Cheesesteak?
That's correct.
Yay!
And this is how it turned out after doing that clump, that beef or whatever. Here it is. Cheese steak.
Not bad, right? That's close.
Getting the CK at the end of something
backwards is
hard to do. Cheese steak.
Snick. Because CK becomes KC.
And how do you do the CH?
It's like a... Like that.
Wow.
It's weird. Yeah. You have to kind of inhale. It's very strange. All right, Sherry, hang on a second. Case, what we got for
Okay, so for you, Sherry, we have, Nell gives this a Seattle on Hong Kong. All right? And so that is a two thumbs up. It is a digital download of Buddy Games.
That's three thumbs up.
That is Nell being tie-tie. And Josh Jamal stars and directs in this wild and hilarious no-holds-barred comedy featuring Dax Shepard, Olivia Munn, and Nick Swartzen. Six lifelong friends reunite for an insane competition of absurd physical and mental challenges for the chance to win $150,000. Buy it or rent it today on digital and DVD rated R from Paramount Pictures.
Nell gives it three thumbs up.
Steve, somebody texted and said, everything played forward sounds like Katharine Hepburn ordering take.
Buffalo Wild Wings, babe.
By the way, let me hear cheesesteak backwards, the original, because it will start with the CH sound.
Catch siege.
So that's ch, Nick.
Kind of got to, like, suck on the C a little bit there.
Suck on the C. Oh, I watched that movie.
Right, Kath?
Right?
Right.
On the back. No, we're just saying, then we're going to watch Suck on the C.
Yeah. Catch siege. All right.
We're going to have some just dang, and we'll suck on the C.
All right, let's go to another caller from Bass Ackwards. Let's see. I think it's Gus that we're going to get on the line. Hi, Gus, are you there?
Yes.
All right, Gus, we're playing Bass Ackwards. You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
All right, let's try this one out on you. Here we go. Slow stuffed balls.
That sounds like something itself.
Slow stuffed balls.
Yeah.
Slow stuffed balls.
This one's called slow stuffed balls.
Can I get a hint?
Yeah, let me play it again for you. Let me get one more play. Here we go. Slow stuffed balls. All right. So, Casey, what do you think?
Philadelphia.
It's another Philadelphia staple. And you can buy it on the street a lot of times.
Soft pretzels?
Soft pretzels. It's a good guess.
That's a good guess, but...
It's correct! Yay! All right. This is what it sounded like when you spin it the other way. Slow futsal.
Oh, my God.
Slow futsal. Slow pretzel.
It's almost singing.
It's, yeah. So, it's got a little vibrato in it. Slow futsal. It's almost like tiny bubbles. Oh, pretzels. All right, Case, what do we have for them?
All right, for you, we have a digital download of Buddy Games. Josh Duhamel stars and directs in this wild and hilarious no-holds-barred comedy featuring Dax Shepard, Olivia Munn, and Nick Swartzen. Nell gives it a...
Three thumbs up.
Three thumbs up. It's about syphilis.
Syphilis?
About syphilis.
Syphilis. Dear God.
I know. I bet you syphilis is said in the movie. I bet you. Six lifelong friends is what I'm trying to say. Nell B and Tai-Tai.
Nell B and Tai-Tai.
And they reunite. It's a great movie.
Syphilis.
Yeah. Paramount Pictures, go. It's a Tai-Tai. I-L-A.
Yeah. Do we only have one left?
We only have one left.
Oh, three thumbs up.
Okay. And while we're doing this case, try to think of a clue because I'm striking out in my mind.
I got you.
All right, let me go to Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, this is Tim Yates.
What did he say?
Say what? He said something
backwards. That was Hey Bitches back.
Oh, oh my God.
Well done, sir. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Say that again.
This is Tim Yates.
I love it. All right, Jeff, I'm going to roll some food here for you backwards. You ready?
All right.
All right, here we go. Chris, soil the mitsulmik. This one is actually three words long. This is the longest one. So here we go. Chris, soil the mitsulmik. All right, you need a clue?
Yeah, I'm going to need a clue on that one.
All right. This is the clue that Casey gave me. Andy Warhol.
Oh.
Easy.
No.
What food is most associated with Andy Warhol?
Oh, I have no idea. And the thing that bugs me the most is I can speak backwards in two languages.
Seriously?
Yeah.
What besides English is your backwards language?
German.
That's pretty wild.
And it is cool. German almost sounds backwards.
All right, let me play.
We wouldn't even be able to test you if you're telling the truth or not.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes I sing songs backwards in German, and I go backwards. I go back and forth from German to English.
Damn it. Well, this is actually...
All right, let me play it for him again. Listen closely. Here we go. It's got a brand name in there.
Andy Warhol.
Yeah. 3 seconds.
Macaroni and cheese.
No, sorry, bud.
No.
But I'm intrigued by your talent, Jeff. Yes. Thank you. Let me go next to Rick. Hey, Rick.
Yeah.
Hey, you, Rick.
Yeah.
All right.
Do you need to hear the clue again?
Yeah, one more time.
Andy Warhol, and then here's the clip. Chris.
Soil die mit Sulmik.
I know a little bit about him. But this isn't my answer. Wait a minute. Can I hear one more time?
Yeah, here we go. Chris.
Soil die mit Sulmik.
Oh, gosh.
What?
One of two things. I'll say, Kellogg's Corn Flakes.
No, incorrect. Sorry, bud. Appreciate it, man. Nope.
This one's clear.
All right. Let me go to Jay. Hi, Jay.
It's morning.
What's that? This morning?
This morning.
This morning, Preston.
All right, Jay.
This morning to you.
This morning on our show.
And then tomorrow morning, everyone.
I'm glad everybody's having a day like we are today. Jay, did you hear the clue? Do you know all the information you need to know?
Yes. What's can I hear it one more time?
All right, here we go. Chris.
Soil die mit Sulmik.
Andy Warhol.
Campbell's soup.
Sorry?
Campbell's soup.
Be more specific. Give me the flavor of the soup.
Vegetable.
No. No. One more. No, two. I got two. We can go to two more callers. Hi, Willie. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Willie. Do you know the answer?
I believe I do. Can I hear a clue one more time?
Yeah, it's Andy Warhol, and then here's the clip. Chris.
Soil die mit Sulmik.
Campbell's soup. Tomato. What?
Campbell's tomato soup?
Yep.
Congratulations, sir.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, hang on, Willie, and I'll play the way it sounds when you flip it around. Here we go.
Campbell's tomato soup.
That's good.
Yeah. It was hard to do,
That's
man.
That's really good.
Hang on one more time.
Campbell's tomato soup.
Campbell's tomato soup. You caught me, friend.
I'm Mick Jagger.
Yeah. Yeah. Campbell's tomato soup.
Campbell's tomato soup.
I want it now.
Case, what do we have for Willie?
For you, Willie, we have a $50 DeBruno Brothers Events and Catering gift card. Check them out at DeBrunoCatering.com.
Somebody texted and said, some of Preston's backwards recordings sound like John Malkovich and Rounders when he says, give that man his money.
Yeah. Pay
that man his money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Russian sounds a little backwards as well.
Chris.
Soil die mit Sulmik.
Record my bird.
My bird. Want to record my bird.
Hey,
talking about my bird.
Can I mention something here
yes.
real quick? A little personal thing.
You want your bird?
I want my bird.
My bird.
Yes. I had an interesting thing happen yesterday. And I want to know if you guys have had this too.
Right.
Because we have a fair amount of social media followers.
Yes.
I was approached via social media to be an influencer.
Really?
Oh, no, yes. I've
never had that happen.
I get emails all the time from a hashtag paid.
Do you get emails or comments?
I get emails. Sometimes I get comments going, yo, bro, like your fit, want to collab. I'm like, no.
Always want to collab.
Want to collab.
Mine said collab too.
Yeah.
Mostly it's in the comments section. It's not usually as a direct message.
Yeah. Oh, I get direct messages all the time.
Yeah, but you're actually an influencer.
You are.
You've done some stuff where you've been able to use your Instagram to like hawk jewelry and stuff.
No, but that's a company that I own. That's not an influencer.
Wait, that's a company?
An influencer.
You own a company? It kind of is.
My jewelry company? Yeah.
I know that you owned that.
Yeah.
Oh.
But that's not an influencer. An influencer is other people's products that you're promoting for them. Mine is my own.
I'm not using it as a derogatory, Kathy. I'm saying that
No, I know. I'm just saying there's a difference.
Well, let me jump in here because you did do one that wasn't for a jewelry company the other day, and
What was that?
It was a movie one.
Oh, but that was just through the station.
That's through the station. Okay.
Yeah. And you put ad on there. But that's not, is that an influencer?
Absolutely. Yeah. What you're doing
is through the station?
What you're doing is using your name, Catherine Mono, to influence people to pay attention to anything. It does not have to be a specific endorsement for a product. And so, you know, even when it comes to like fall activities, hashtag fall activities is a brand of social influence.
Okay. I would never identify myself as that, but I understand what you're saying.
I think the at least I perceive and in the constraints of being an influencer for your personal gain, like you're not doing it under the auspices of work. You're doing, you're influencing.
There's a difference.
Yeah. And so,
no, but
so,
like, personal gain would be, I think that's different.
No, I think that's what influencers do. They influence a lot of times. For example, Kylie Jenner is an influencer as well as she has her own products, but she also, people get paid to simply, like Scott Disick is a more perfect example.
Yeah.
And that's the only time perfect has been described using a word. But he will endorse things and he will be an influencer of those things and he gets money back from that.
Right. And I get approached by there is a company that reaches out to people who have a decent, I guess, following on social media. And they're called hashtag paid. And I get emails and text messages from them. To collab. And I haven't done it yet because there hasn't been a product that I go, oh, yeah, I do that. I use that product. One, they hit me up for like some sort of wine thing. I'm like, yeah, I'd be the wrong person for that.
Right. I got this one. This is from a men's jewelry. So it's like, you know, watches and bracelets and things like that.
Prince Albert's.
It says, hey, Preston, we really like this photo. Would you like to do a collab?
Yeah. So
DM the company and our team will organize a special order of jewelry just for you.
So what's really happening there is that company is using your popularity and knows that people will read the comments on your post. And so it's far more about them getting their name out there than it is them actually collaborating with you on anything.
But should I say, hey, dude, send me some stuff?
No, you should not. And because it, more likely than not, it ends up being a scam. If somebody actually wanted to contact you, they would either direct message you or they email you.
Okay.
They'd be able to get in touch with you. Using the comments section is not the way to actually collaborate with someone.
You get abducted by gypsies.
Right.
You don't want that.
Nope.
So influencers get paid by brands to represent the brand. That's what an influencer is. Kylie Jenner, I understand saying that she's an influencer. However, it's her own company.
Okay, so, I would still just in parlance call that an influencer.
Yeah.
But, you know, same thing as an endorser, you know? I mean, that's, and we endorse stuff all the time.
Yeah, influencer is more applied to social media.
Yeah. I know,
right,
yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But I mean, I would lump it in that category personally. So, I don't know. Marissa?
It's kind of like the word clickbait. Like it has one specific meaning at the very beginning. Like a clickbait means an article that gets you to click it and the headline has nothing to do with the content of the article.
Right.
It doesn't mean a headline that was written really well that got you to click it and then you were intrigued by what was within the article, but that's also been lumped in with the word clickbait.
Right.
So I think influencer has the same thing where, as Kathy says, at the beginning it was you get paid to promote a product, but now it's like, hey, my restaurant's opening. Do you want to come and have a free meal? Post about it, and then you get a free meal, I get promotion, and win-win. So
yeah, but see,
like
I wouldn't. That's not an influencer. That person owns that restaurant. They're just promoting their business.
No.
It's like us promoting the radio station.
But the person that they offer the free meal to,
they're going to
that person because they have many followers, and their followers are going to see it.
Right.
You kind of say it like is all lumped in there.
Sorry. A new restaurant in Philadelphia knows that you have the perception, Marissa, of being someone who's out on the scene, and so they offer you a meal and they ask you to talk about it on your social media, and that at that point you're an influencer.
Yeah, and I feel really weird about that because that has happened with so many people, and I try to avoid those. And every time I post something, I've paid for that meal, or it's just a product that I really like, and it bugs the crap out of me. Casey, you do it a lot when not you see it a lot when you post something, and everyone's like, "Ooh, hashtag ad."
Yeah.
Like, I posted a photo of clouds once that reminded me of the BrewDog logo. It's this little logo of this British beer. And somebody was like, oh, that's a hashtag ad. And I was like, you're kidding me.
You're a hashtag a-hole.
You think that I sat around and waited for something that looked like this thing that this company paid me for? It was absurd.
Why does it have to be hashtag ad? So that
if you're
that,
paid for it and you're using
no, but it's not it's not being paid for, because what I was going to say is the movie that I posted a picture of, the in the literature that they sent me, it said you have to put hashtag ad.
It's kind of like FCC regulations. Like, if you are being asked to promote a product, then you have to be open on your social media.
That's what it is.
That's what you're doing. So you'll see a lot of them where, like, the hashtag ad is, like, buried in, like, 20 hashtags, so you don't really see it. Some people will do that. Or some people are very obvious with it. Like, you'll see the Kardashians very obvious about it, because they've actually gotten sued because of people are
right.
There's no hard
and fast rules, but to your point, I think it was Khloe Kardashian, and one of them got in trouble because they were talking about this weight loss thing, and they were talking about it as if they themselves had just happened across it. I'm really recommending it without revealing that they were being paid to endorse it, and that's what causes the issue.
There's differences, too, between saying, I want to use this and I recommend it, and this is a great product. So you can't, you know, something where you said, I specifically used it, often you'll be paid for that post. Whereas if Steve says something like, hey, I just think that Justice League is a great movie, that's very different than in an endorsement. The other thing about the collab thing, Preston, is you got to be really careful, because sometimes it's just a pyramid scheme. It's a straight up scam where somebody is being there's a company that wants you they're using you as a pyramid scheme.
Most of the time they're scams. Don't ever reply.
Yep. I felt like a modeling agency had discovered me.
Yeah. Hey, it was like when you were foot modeling again.
You know, it was like a little shining moment. Somebody wants me to do this,
and maybe you do like their pyramids.
Mm. And by the way, influencers aren't bad and aren't all bad. Like, honestly, like, they, you know, tell me about things that, like, for instance, there's a pizza place down in Linwood, New Jersey. I'm not going to say the name of it, but I wouldn't have known about it if it wasn't for a Philadelphia influencer who was like, dude, this pizza's badass, man.
We're running social media now at this point. We all follow them.
I'm so glad that I don't have to use social media as a tool. It's a personal tool for me. It's a personal thing. I haven't posted anything. I didn't even really post anything at Camp Out for Hunger that much. There are times where it's just like too overwhelming to me and I step away
from it. You have to, yeah.
I haven't posted anything in quite some time and I feel much better about it. And my life has not changed at all.
Well, I do just want to say congratulations, Preston, because you've made it.
Oh, thank you for being offered by a pyramid scam yes, thank you.
No, you're right, though, Preston.
You were deemed an easy mark.
Right, yeah.
You're right, though. It's like sometimes it can actually be like a little stressful. I have a friend who is like a true influencer, and I watch her and what she does on social media. I mean, it's her main source of employment, basically.
Oh, wow.
And
it's all day, all night, right, Gabby? God.
Steve, I spent the weekend with her over the summer, and at some point I was like, I can't take this. Like, I actually need to have a conversation with somebody. And so I hung out with her kids because her head was in the phone the entire time. And more so than just like, hey, you're going to text a friend or you're reading emails or something like that. Like, you could tell it was just like 100% of her time. Yeah. And I mean, to her defense, it was work at that moment.
Well, and it's different than being buried in paperwork at your job, because you go to the job, you do the job there, and then when you go away from that, sure, you might do a little pickup thing here and there to cover your tracks, but you don't spend all the time buried. Right. I feel that's no way to live.
You never know when your day is done.
Right. It's funny. There's a funny handle on Instagram. I think it's called Influencers in the Wild. And it's people capturing other people trying to be influencers.
Yeah.
You know, so you see these people like posing in the street and just looking ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so you don't end up seeing the finished product. But, Preston, I don't know why I'm not being approached. I'm being approached by like Bobby's watches and bracelets, right? That like, but where's Adidas? You know, I'm wearing their pants all the time. How come they're not hitting me up and saying, yo, bro?
They're going after major athletes. Yeah.
Yo, bro, yeah, what a collab.
You're not their demographic.
Yeah.
I just always feel bad for the boyfriends or girlfriends or friends of the influencers that have to take 30 pictures and then look at them and take more photos and all
I do wonder who takes the pictures, though. Like, with my friend, I'm like, who took that? And she's like, my 9-year-old.
No. Marissa's right. It's the children and the boyfriends and the girlfriends.
Yeah. The collateral damage.
Trust me.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Interesting, though. All right. Well, I thought it was, you know, it was going to be an influencer. Yeah, Steve?
Did you want... Nicole says her sister's an influencer, if you want to go to this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Hi, Nicole. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what?
That was the most petite.
Yes.
Hey, bitches. What's up, Nicole?
So it's my sister-in-law who is an influencer on Instagram. I guess kind of like small time, medium time kind of thing.
Yeah.
But she's a librarian at an elementary school. And she does this, she uses both her own products, like, cause she makes these crafts that are original, that are products that other librarians can use in their libraries. But then she also has been approached over time by a lot of different brands that send her products to use, and then she can turn around and recommend them as an endorser, sort of.
Oh, an endorser. Okay, so
it's a combination.
Is it? Would you describe it as fairly lucrative?
It's a good supplement. It's a good supplement, especially around the holidays.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's interesting that there's a market for everything, though, too. I mean, I never would have thought that there'd be a librarian area for influencers, but there is. And
she does it topless.
Right. And it's been really useful, like, since, the, you know, with COVID, all of the schools shutting down and then changing the way they operate.
Yeah.
He's been able to kind of be out there and help other librarians along in the transition. And it's sort of a way of, like, influencing, like, well, here's this new problem that's been thrown at us as a group. So, you know, here are some of the things that we can do to fix it together. And it's kind of nice.
It's interesting.
Yeah. What's her name?
Yeah. What's that?
What's her name?
I get to do a butt plug?
Yeah, you can do a butt plug.
I want to follow her.
It's not for charity, but, you know, go ahead.
It's In Our Library. So I-N-O-U-R Library.
In Our Library. Sorry, Casey farted over that.
My bad. Sorry.
All right, Marissa?
Yeah, just talking about supplementing products. Like, I have a lot of new mom friends who would actually just write to companies, and they just send them products, and you just have to do a couple posts. But they end up with free diapers or wipes or anything like that. So the same kind of thing where...
I can use some diapers.
There you go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Some new wipes.
All right, so, yeah, I've got, like, you know, five times the amount of followers as your library friend does here.
Why aren't you getting... You could have a whole... Your own Dewey Decimal System.
I could.
You know what? I mean, like, that's when you mention that, Preston, you're asking for trouble. You know, like, the ability to avoid it is better than having to go on and do it.
No, it's nothing I really want to do.
No, you prefer
selling
drugs.
But who doesn't like free stuff, man? Who doesn't like free things sent to them?
I don't know how you monetize. Like, okay, well, how many followers? Like, I have this many followers. How much is that worth? Post-wise.
Oh, there's a whole grid on that.
Oh. Is there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, see, I thought you just negotiate, and you say, all right, well, I think I'm worth this.
Where do you find this grid?
In a lot of industries, you have to have 10,000 in order to influence a product.
10,000? Preston's doing the jerk-off
side. Oh, Preston's got a lot. One of the first influencers, I think it was like even before I was on Instagram, but was Joey Fortman. You guys remember her? She used to work at Ben. So she kind of did she did the mom thing before it became popular to do that. You should have seen her garage. It was filled. When I tell you filled, I mean from like floor to ceiling with toys. Company would just send her toys. She would go to these like toy conventions and everybody would send her product because she did this hot holiday gift guide every year and people wanted to be on her gift guide. And she basically made a career out of it. When she left radio to stay home with her kids, she's back into radio now. But she was like one of the first people that I knew to do this.
Okay. I'm just bad at it. I mean, like our friends at Revivalist Distillery. Yeah. Like, I'm doing an endorsement deal with them, and they even created a booze with my name on it, you know, this mix, which is fantastic. It's Preston's Quarantine Cocktail. And I've posted a couple times, but I should really be doing that more. Yeah, and I just suck at it.
You have another job, though.
I do have another job, but...
You're paid to influence. But the cool part is, again, with all of our stuff... Whatever we talk about, whatever we hit, we kill. No, whatever we talk about, we like the sleep number beds and everything, we actually use them.
Yes.
And that's part of the deal. When people got in trouble initially with the influencer stuff is that they were just saying that they were using things they were not, or they were acting as if it was just an organic thing when they were being subsidized.
So here's the breakdown, and I guess this is Instagram. Micro influencers or accounts with less than 10,000 followers. A recent study showed these accounts made $88 per post on Instagram. That's nothing to sneeze at.
That's not. Is that for stories or posts?
For posts, for per post on Instagram. So if it's if you're doing an influencer, you know, putting the product in there.
I love these tampons.
$88, right? Exactly.
Yeah, I'd rather that not sit on my post part and be in my story.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna get less.
Anyway, you want $88 or not?
Middle tier influencers accounts between 10,000 to 100,000 followers can make around $200 per post on average. But I guess this is an average. So you got to work this out with your the person that's doing this deal with you. Top tier influencers accounts between 100,000 and 1 million followers can expect to make about $670 per post. The price can greatly vary, though, in that category. Marissa?
It's all about the hustle, and I appreciate it. Casey said, like, you know, we're kind of joking about the influencer thing, but this person is, like, emailed, reached out, made the post, took hours to, like, make whatever the video or boomerang or whatever it was, write the caption, all of that. So that money is warranted. I appreciate these folks.
Okay.
That's your hustle.
Do the hustle.
Kath?
I'll tell you, I did have to stop following a lot of like clothing influencers because I was buying stuff that like I just didn't need, but they would post it. I'm like, that looks so cute. I have to get that. And I'm like, you know what? Enough is enough. And I stopped following these girls.
You were getting too influenced.
You had a problem.
You had influenza. The ads on the side of Instagram or Facebook or influencers. Oh, yeah. I'm clicking and purchasing. It's annoying that I actually have to put a stop to myself.
I almost bought a mask that had a full Santa beard on it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I bought it. It just came yesterday. Boom.
See, and that's part of the reason why I didn't.
But
I think somebody probably already got it. So, Marissa?
Kathy, do you follow Target Does It Again?
Yes, I do follow.
It's an influencer just walks around Target and shows new products they have, and it's incredible.
Well, yeah. You know what? For whatever reason, sorry, Marissa, you'll like this. For whatever reason, like all of these people that are modeling clothing and stuff like that, a lot of these influencers are in Texas. That's like kind of where it stemmed from, where it started.
Yeah!
No, so I was like, I had like three pairs of cowboy boots. I was like, enough is enough with this. You don't even wear them.
I could use that saddle.
Wow. All right. Anyhow, so well, I'm not gonna be endorsing a new product.
No. You're not gonna collab.
I'm not gonna collab with these guys. But what I am gonna do is have us take a break. We'll come back in just a moment, and we'll get into another. What are we doing? Oh, we're gonna talk.
Yeah.
About things. We're gonna open up. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR, now available at radio.com while supplies last.
Twaddle. Twiddle. Toodle. Never heard of Twaddle Road before.
Yeah, neither have I.
No. Real quick email I'd like to read. It says, lifelong listener here. This is from Mike Gerard. He said, just want to let you know that my wife and I currently call our one-year-old Crumbum.
Crumbum.
Because he throws crumbs all over the kitchen. Rizzo would be proud. And he says here, I'll take both of you physically and sexually.
Yes.
Well, I'll take you both physically and sexually.
Get you both out back and do you both physically and sexually. I'll do things to your buttocks that you'll regret for a lifetime.
Wow.
You crumb bums.
I don't think I'll ever get tired of that Rizzo bit, man. This is the best.
You're a real crumb bum.
The day we stumbled across that audio, we're like, what is this? What is he saying?
He's walking his dog. Yeah. Let me put my dog inside, and then I'll sodomize the lot of you.
You're a lush.
You're a lush and a crumb bum.
All of yous.
All of yous. You're stack you up like a Dagwood sandwich.
Crumb bum, lush, lily livered, lushes.
Crumb bum, creme, cring brulee, crumb, creme. Crumb. Creme. Bum. Butt. Sodomy.
All right. So happy birthday. Well, no, it wasn't a birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
Play this on your birthday.
Happy birthday, you crumb bum.
Bum. Cake.
Wait, I'm not ready.
Presents. Clowns. Crumb bum.
No, I do have a birthday shard out. This is from Matt Leeper. He says, President Steve, you guys rock. Wanted to give a birthday shard out to my amazing wife, Stephanie. She listens to your podcast every day from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Ah, that's next to Charleston.
Stephanie, no, it's not. That's in South Carolina. Stephanie, you are amazing and make my life wonderful, he says.
So much brighter.
Happy birthday on December 4th. What's that?
So much brighter.
Yes, you make it so much brighter. So, happy birthday from Matt. You know what?
Oh, what?
What?
I think it's time to head to the campus of the Just Sayin' Institute this morning.
The Just Sayin' Institute. A short visit is as good as a long visit at this realm of knowledge for morning shows around the world. But just ours, really.
Yeah. So I saw a few studies, and they were filtered through the Just Saying Institute. Thought I would pass these along to you.
Always interesting information.
This study is about what makes a happy couple a happy family. So it says there are some basic principles when it comes to being a happy couple and a happy family. University of Rochester researchers found that being mindful and emotionally flexible in challenging situations improves the life of an individual person.
Well, you didn't need a survey to say that.
And also strengthens and enriches that person's close relationship.
So if you don't just dig in and fight to the death, it'll help your marriage?
Right.
I think the best thing you could do is tell somebody to calm down, right? That works every single time.
Yeah, just calm down right
Ask
now.
Ask them if they're on their period.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude.
Oh, man. I was thinking about my wife yesterday and my whole family in general, just in the sense that, like it's so weird how we ended up together and where we are now. And I never in my life did I ever foresee me being in this situation right now with, like, three kids. And I never had a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan or anything like that. But, man, did I strike gold. Mm-hmm. When I met her, because she is the right person to, like, offset me.
Yes.
And especially with the children. She's like, you know.
It's the same.
The perfect,
I think,
like,
the same thing. Yeah. I know we all do. Listen, it's you need that. And also you grow to understand each other. You've invested time.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, and you try. You shouldn't be a major overhaul when you enter into a relationship, but you should learn ways to communicate with each other that will help things. Like, this is a way to work with someone, Preston, without just saying steadfastly, no, I refuse to compromise.
Oh, yeah. I have found specifically, maybe within the past year or so, that I've gotten much better at this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a much healthier world. Our world has been much healthier in those regards. And I've been the key to it is when you start feeling emotions, whether they're aggressive or angry or whatever it may be, even sad, upset, and some other emotions.
Start swinging.
No, is to stop and think about, okay, A, I'm feeling this way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then B, why am I feeling this way? And then C, is it worth feeling this way over what got you here? So
the word is risk.
And I've managed to, and Casey and I were talking about this recently, I've managed to start to recognize these moments where I start feeling that way and to be able to go, hang on a minute here.
Uh-huh.
It has helped so much. It has helped so much.
It changed a lot for me. It changed the way my wife and I, and we were good before, but we got better.
Yeah,
and we you know, learning those moments.
Well, there's always room for improvement, right? Like, even if things are great, you can always do things better. And like,
well,
if you
Oreos.
They're
pretty much there.
All right. Oh, so that's the example of.
Yeah, but they
improve the bottom. The exception that improves the rule. Casey, going back to your point about your wife, I'm not a believer that there's just one person in the world, right? Like, I don't think that there's the one out there, right?
Yeah.
However,
I know what you mean.
There, you found A1.
Yeah.
And the life that you've carved out with her. That then created three more, and then the dogs and everything that goes along with it. Isn't that remarkable that there is that one person out there that has formed this life with you?
I agree. And I agree with you on there's, and listen, there are loads of people out there who you could have a wonderful life with.
It's a big planet.
But you didn't meet those people.
Right.
And you will never meet those people. You met this person who
so
just.
So you make do with what you have.
Who just, no, you met somebody who was perfect for you. It doesn't mean they were the only one that was, you know, you could have gone out and there could have been someone better for you for all
right.
You know, who knows? But I don't believe in that.
So you're saying when you found the right one, it's still okay to sample?
Sure, go for it. No, I'm being practical about
it. Yeah. So, no, I believe and I understand, yeah, that when you talk about soulmates and stuff like that.
Yeah, but I fell into the perfect situation as well.
I am as well.
Hopefully she feels that way, too.
She may not. Maybe she's getting together with Rochelle. I don't know.
My wife is like, eternally content, right? Like, she doesn't need anything else. And, like, I'm the more high-maintenance one. I'm the one who's like, oh, you know, like, I need all the toys. And I, you know, I need to go out and have adventures. And, you know, like, what we have done over the last 20 years is we've allowed each other to just be ourselves.
And give your space.
Yeah.
And also, when you realize in a relationship that you... Because you always, you know, we've got to do everything all the time to get no.
And so
let
was,
each other grow.
I was telling Preston about that with like being down the shore. Like one thing that has worked for my wife and I is that we have sort of fallen into our routines, and we're not forcing each other to be in our routines, right? Like, so she likes to sit on the beach longer than I do.
You guys like to do the who's on first routine.
No, but it's not like I'm doing this and you have to do this too,
yeah.
Right?
No, exactly.
It's never been that.
And you're not guilted, and you're and she can go do her things, you do your things, and that's how you grow as people.
Now listen, when
you don't have any it doesn't cause issues.
Right. Well, when you're wiping asses, right, and you're cleaning diapers and the children aren't
then you got to go home.
Aren't as self-sufficient, then you don't have your rope's not as long, right?
You're right. You're right.
You definitely have to tether yourself closer to the homestead. So, you know, all of the responsibilities aren't put on one person.
Right.
It can be daunting. Going back to this study, it says psychological flexibility is the set of skills that people use when they're presented with difficult or challenging thoughts, feelings, emotions, or experiences, and includes things such as being open to new experiences, both good and bad, not obsessively clinging to thoughts and feelings, and continuing to take steps toward a goal.
I would say,
even in the case of difficult setbacks or experiences, among other things.
It's axiomatic,
yes.
Pragmatic, and electrostatic.
I think you hit them all exactly.
Could you guys, at this point in your lives, you know, just remove what your life is right now? Could you be single?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Totally.
At this age?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Oh my God, no. None of my bills would get paid. None of the stuff would get fixed around the house.
Oh, that stuff.
I was good at being single. Here's what I think helped my marriage, Nick, and both, and Claire and I. We were both good at being single.
Yeah.
I was never drawn into a relationship as a time killer.
Well, when you're comfortable being single,
right,
you're then attractive to other people. You
right.
Like, because you're comfortable with yourself.
So could I be? Yes. Would I want to be?
Right.
No. I love those simple moments. Like I tell the young people who come up to me when they say, hey old timer, I tell them that really find the person that you're comfortable watching crappy TV with on the couch,
yeah,
and doing the little things, because there's more of the little things in life than the big moments, you know?
Yeah, okay. But to answer your question, Nick, yeah, like last night I was getting ready to make myself some eggs for dinner, and I opened the fridge. I had the frying pan was all ready, and I opened the fridge, and there were no eggs in there.
Uh-huh.
And I made myself a peanut butter and honey sandwich and set for dinner. So, yes, I could be single.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
And okay. Then you watched the crappy Eagles game.
I did that all on my own.
By myself.
Mm-hmm. By myself.
Kathy, could you be single?
No.
Yeah.
No?
No. Mm. No, I'm not hot anymore.
Your mom hot.
Oh, that's
funny.
You could
be old. You could be working MILF porn like nobody's business.
I don't know if I can get free drinks at the bar.
No, but at the AFVs you could.
Yeah, easily.
I kind of want to go out with you on a Friday night and see if you can get free drinks, Kath.
Well, can I have free drinks?
You would have to go to a city where people don't know her.
Okay.
You know, it's
no radio to
create a blind.
Yeah.
My name's Calista.
I'm going to pack the bar, Nick. Text everyone I know. Like, listen, I'll pay you $20 if you go to the bar and buy me a drink.
Can I have a rack of lamb?
Here's the text. Somebody explain this to me. You ladies need to straighten your skirt and stop pontificating on how great your wives are. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Oh, my. What? Are you supposed to put them down?
I'm supposed to be ashamed because I have an awesome wife.
You got to crack your old lady now and then keep them alive.
Oh, that's right. It's that guy.
Yeah. You got to crack your old lady.
Wait, I've got a friend whose husband is like that. Like just constantly.
A chauvinist.
You know, like. Yeah, like, but we're just talking, like, you know, like, immediately when you get into a conversation, it's always like, oh, God, she didn't clean, or she didn't do this.
I despise
dinner wasn't
that.
Ready. Like, immediately, I'm like, why are you talking to me like this? Like, you think I'm going to back you up on it.
Right.
Get the out of my face.
I despise that. I despise also when ladies get together a lot of times, and you get the ones, it is the complaining about the husband thing that I'm like, really? Mm. If it's that mercilessly bad, then why are you with this person?
Yes.
That it's always in the front of your mind.
Get to therapy.
Yeah.
Get to therapy. You need it. All right, anyhow. Psychological flexibility is one of the keys.
A lack of intractability.
Flagadishigal. That's an old one.
Yeah.
So anyhow, happy family, happy couple, blah, blah, blah.
All yeah.
Right, let me see what else I got here for you from the JSI.
The Jewish Defense League.
No. What? No, JSI.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not JDL. A new study by researchers in Spain finds that people largely remain the same over time in at least one way.
Where in Spain? Is it Ibiza or is it Barcelona?
Researcher Miguel Rubianes explains, we found that there is a component of ourselves.
We found that there was a competent component.
There's a component of ourselves that remains stable while other parts, another part is more susceptible to change over time. The capacity for self-awareness and self-recognition was found to remain stable throughout a person's life, whereas other components such as physical aspects, physiological processes, and even attitudes, beliefs, and values are more likely to change. So they found that personality tends to change slightly over the years, but that the sense of being one's self is preserved, improving our understanding of human nature. So
you become more self-possessed.
Almost all people still feel like themselves. They don't feel like a different person as they've gotten, right. as they age. You know what I mean? Now, that doesn't mean that your ideas and what you believe in haven't changed.
Right.
You're still you.
You learn things, you change, you morph.
Yeah.
You become a werewolf.
I go back from time to time, do a little assessment of who I was and who I am now.
Right.
And I'm a way different person. I mean, I'm still the
How
same.
How much so?
I'm
You're the still same the foot guy. Model?
No, I mean, I'm still, no, I'm not, I don't foot model anymore.
Well, it's because you just, I mean, you could if you wanted to.
Not right now.
Okay.
I'm not
too
in good
busy
shape.
Collabing.
I'm not in good shape. My feet are not in good shape. I got work to do.
You were saying that you're the person of, so in your youth, would you say, not your youth, but your you know, put you at 18, dramatically different? The things that your component parts?
Dramatically is kind of a strong word to use.
Right.
But significantly different.
Okay.
Yes.
But the building blocks of who you are now were there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the way I think of it.
Yeah. It is hoped that this finding might lead to treatments for mental illness in which the sufferer has an alteration in their sense of self.
So when somebody thinks they're somebody completely different.
Yeah. Which might be a sign of some form of mental illness. So.
For about a month last year, I thought it was Jane Seymour.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, that's a good one,
yeah,
dude.
It was good, but I couldn't stand the chicken.
She has aged well.
She has aged well, yeah.
Beautiful and very...
for that month, I had aged well.
Sweet woman. So, all right.
I am looking good.
Let me see what else I got.
Steve's looking very good. Steve looking very Seymour-esque today.
Hey, kitty cat. Let's see here. Kids want to punish wrongdoers.
With guns.
Especially if they believe the punishment will teach the person a lesson.
Well, there you go. They're right.
Yale University researchers found that kids aged 4 to 7 were more likely to dole out punishments if they knew the wrongdoer would be told why he or she was being disciplined compared to the option of the wrongdoer being punished but the child making the choice also facing a minor punishment.
So sitting on the step.
I see this happen all the time.
Yeah.
You do, Kathy?
Yeah, with kids that, at least in that age range, for sure.
Sitting on the step was like a punishment in my house. Like, if you did something wrong, we would go sit on the step. And then it became something that my kids would say when somebody did something wrong. Maybe like, go sit on the step. So they...
Like sit on a potty?
Yeah, sit on a potty. No, it was like basically
They were doling out the punishment.
Yeah.
The study co-author, Julia Marshall, said, children seem equipped at an early age with both a desire for punishers to receive their just desserts and the desire to have them improve their behavior next time. Punishers.
Yeah, the Marvel series.
Wait a minute. Equipped at an early age with both a desire for punishers to receive their just desserts.
No, no, the punisher is doling out the punishment.
Yeah, if it teaches the person a lesson. So I guess that's.
So in other words, you're saying the person needs to know that when you're being punished, you need to know the reason why, which makes sense,
and hopefully it will keep you from doing whatever you did.
Stupid little kids figured that out.
Considered bad. Yeah. Okay. Steve, this one speaks to you.
All right.
Sort of, because you're not.
It's a Jane Seymour?
No, it's not that. You'll understand. Not everybody has hair on their head.
Yeah, that's me.
And now, Bald Dating is a new matchmaking site.
Oh, my God. So if you were single, Steve.
Yeah. Kathy, I go on a site called lickmybald.com.
It aims to make it easier for singles with hair loss to date.
Huh.
For women, too? Because women will suffer.
It's a good
it as
question,
well.
Case. I'm not really sure.
Do you think this is for, like, people with alopecia, or is it people who have just naturally gone bald?
So I shave my head. I would have, like, I'd say Bruce Willis Die Hard 3 at this point, if I let it grow in.
Oh, if you let it grow in, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. I choose the bald look. But I don't know. So that's a good point. Is this alopecia directed, or is it just people who are making the, as Nick points out, the fashion decision?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think whoever is bald on top, and now it might be different if you're just a shaved head. If you would normally have a full head, I don't know. If you're bald, you can do this.
Get off my back.
Yeah, leave me alone. For crying out loud.
I don't run the Just Saying Institute.
Those looking to... By the way, it just debuted on the 23rd. It's being promoted with the tagline, Heads and Personalities Shine.
Ooh.
Those looking to join the app should be...
steal that.
Bald or open to dating someone who is. And the app has a like button that allows users to connect and begin messaging. Are there women who prefer a bald head? And I'm not talking about...
Yes.
A guy shaving the head because he's got a receding hairline. But, I mean, bald to a full head of hair. Are there women that prefer that?
Yeah.
There's got to be, right?
Why not?
Well, yeah. They probably prefer that over the male pattern baldness look.
I've been told by women that they actually prefer bald men. Like, bald, shaved head, bald, over...
Over hair.
Over
altogether.
Hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't look at a guy with long, flowy hair and be like... Oh, wow. But a bald guy might turn my head.
Yeah. You are married to a bald husband.
So, like, my wife does not like facial hair, does not like, you know, and I used to have a mustache for a while. I had it on the back of my head, though, to keep it discreet. I'm now completely, you know, I got rid of it all.
Yeah,
it's like Damien when you pull back, you know, you look for the 666, but there's a mustache.
There's a mustache deep down in there. It's a different color. It's blonde,
right? Exactly. Yeah.
No. So the app is available globally and is currently free to use through its though its creator says it eventually will have a monthly fee.
I will say this quickly, Case, if I may jump in. I've seen bald women who look fantastic.
Of course,
like with the you know.
Really short cropped
hair?
Yeah,
I love my wife has very shaved. Short hair, and I think she looks tremendous.
Well, I remember I ran into an old fellow intern of mine from Y100 days, who, when I knew him, he had hair. And then I saw him, and he had, shaved it bald. And he said, because he was going bald, and he just decided to shave it all off. And
Good call. He said,
yeah, well, for him, it was like, as far as women paying attention to him, it was night and day. Now, he said the second he started shaving it, you know, women actually started paying attention to him.
What was your immediate reaction? Did you think, oh, he looks better or just different?
Well, so because I didn't know him going bald.
Right.
I mean, I didn't know him going.
As he was transitioning.
As he was transitioning and losing his hair.
That's right.
Yeah. So he looked completely different to me.
Right.
And so I didn't see the transition, but I thought he looked good.
Okay.
I said it before. I think Michael Jordan is the guy who set the table for bald men everywhere. Yeah. I mean, there were other famous bald
people. Like Yul Brynner.
Yeah, and Telly Savalas and a few along the way.
Bidler.
But when Jordan. Happy birthday today, by the way.
Yeah.
No, but when Michael Jordan was the dominant force that he was, and he had a full-on shiny bald head, you started seeing it pop up more often and become much, much cooler.
You would see, Yul Brynner, there was an actor, a guy you might have seen as a character actor years ago. His name was Woody Strode. He was a muscular. He's a African-American gentleman, but he had a really, he was kind of a sex symbol, and he had a shaved head.
So it says, wait, I'm looking at the wrong.
I thought it looked weird. I remember seeing like Daddy Warbucks. I'm like, that looks weird.
Right.
That was like the first him, Telly Savalas.
When you're pasty white.
Right.
Which is what Daddy Warbucks was.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird.
So the app is available globally and is currently free to use, though its creator says it eventually will have a monthly fee. Most people already on the app are between the ages of 30 and 40. So it is called... what is the name of it? It's Bald Dating. So it's a new site if you happen to be bald and you're interested.
I think it looks dramatically better, completely shaved head, is The Rock. Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
His hair just does not look.
Doesn't look right.
Yep.
Stop it.
Let me see. How about.
Let's do one more story. Do we have time for one more?
Yeah, this one's kind of interesting. If you have passed your 30th birthday and feel like a screw-up because your financial situation is kind of a mess, you're not alone. A new one-poll survey for BOK Financial found the average American doesn't have a, quote, financial awakening until they're 33 years old.
Okay.
The different types of financial awakening include a sudden drop in income caused by losing your job or having your hours reduced, named by 23%. Loss of income or higher expenses due to health events, cited by 18%, and recognizing the effect of your spending or savings practices, named by 15%.
Hmm. No mention of student loans?
No. I don't think that really starts to hang on you until you get into your 30s, you know, because you're paying it for so long. But the survey also found that while the average respondent would like to retire by age 57, 20% hadn't even started saving for it. And that 43% said that they're afraid to look at their checking account or savings account balance. But about 33 is when you start to go, wow, okay.
That's what I think got real.
That's when you start thinking about retirement, right. And I have to plan ahead of time.
Just getting things you've wanted in life and saving for things. And you know, like I always subscribe to the Elvis notion. I would have to do, I'd have to get a job that paid well enough that I could be Colonel Tom Parker out of a lot of it and still have enough to get a Batman figure.
I've said it before. I didn't start feeling like an adult until I was 28.
Yeah.
Why 28?
I mean, I still don't feel like a full-on adult.
Because you got a T-shirt that said I'm an adult.
It was around my 28th birthday that I moved here.
When you a change of location and starting anew. So likewise, when I felt adultish after my mom passed away, and my dad went to where his job was. He had been commuting to keep my mother happy up in New York, but he worked in Dallas, and so we stayed here, and he left, and then that.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's why your dad was in Dallas.
Yes, so he got a job in Dallas, but my mother loved Long Island so much that he would actually commute. Kathy, he would fly out on Monday and come back on Friday.
Wow.
Yeah,
and that's where he lives now. So did he have friends and things like that there?
Yeah, he started to, but a lot of those, you know, he now has. Sheila, who is his girlfriend,
paramour,
is basically a girlfriend, doesn't even stay because I've known her as long as I knew my mother.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never feel like an adult because I'm always hanging out with older people. And so that does not help because if I ever, wow, man, like, you know, when I turned 30, it was like, yeah, but I'm 40.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I turned 40. And so now, like, I also hang out with my cousins.
With Benjamin Button.
But my one cousin's in his 60s and my other cousin is about to turn 60. And so I can't even then. They're like, man, you young whippersnappers.
Preston, I think I follow your path.
Why do old men talk like that?
Whippersnapper.
What's that?
Preston, I think I follow your path because I've thought about this before and I never brought it up to you. But there are things that we talked about on the show that you've talked about. And like however many years later, when I reach that age, I'm like feeling the same way you are. And you just said something about 28 and that was the same thing with me. Remember when you forgot your birthday? There was like 1 year when you forgot a whole year.
I forgot how old I was. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that didn't happen to me, but I just like kind of put it in the back of my, like I was like, I don't want to talk about how old I am. Like right around the same time as the end of the 30s, right before 40. So there's like, I think I follow your path.
Okay. Well get ready. Cause when you're 51, you're going to hurt your shoulder and you'll never be able to play golf again. Sad. All right.
Lovely.
All right. Anyhow, these are just some things from the Just Saying Institute I thought I would pass along to you. We do need to take a break, so we're going to do that very thing. A reminder, Tattoos Day today.
Yeah.
Your chance to win a Preston and Steve tattoo. Text the word tattoo to 39333. We'll get a winner by the end of the show. And I want to thank again to Bruno Brothers Events and Catering for coming by. Don't forget that they now specialize in COVID-safe individual meals as well as creative micro and virtual events. You can see for yourself at DeBrunoCatering.com and ask about customizing your ideal package from DeBruno Brothers. We'll be right back.
What's new? Glad you asked.
Corey Taylor. Larkin Poe.
Stapleton.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Kathy, how is twaddle spelled? I got a text
it
earlier.
It is spelled. Hold on. Let me find it.
We had never heard of twaddle road before.
I know.
T-W-A-D-D-E-L-L.
All right. I think it's pronounced twaddle.
Oh, well, I like twaddle.
I do, too. I do, too. I got a text earlier that said, I think of like Dell Computers, twaddle. Oh.
It's not as fun.
Twaddle rolls off the tongue.
Twaddle's better.
Yeah.
And twaddle is a word.
Twaddle's,
to be honest with you, I may have even skipped that in my traffic report, but I thought it was twaddle, and I knew you guys would have something to say about it, so I added it.
Well, we appreciate it.
Twaddle, twaddle, twaddle. All right. And by the way, I want to thank DeBruno Brothers. Again, we gave away all our goodies during the Bass Ackwards contest we did. They want to remind you, you can plan your New Year's Eve with DeBruno Brothers. So you want to check out their gourmet packages, including a bottle of bubbly for two guests. Order by December 28th at DeBrunoCatering.com. And they brought us tons of great stuff. A master special selection cheese and charcuterie setup.
Excellent.
Roasted baby heirloom carrots. They brought tomato braised short rib. Chocolate and bourbon tarts as well. All kinds of good stuff. Yes, so thank you very much to DeBruno Brothers. All right, we need to do the Bizarre File.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we're going to start with this story. I wish I had a photo to show you guys, but it was pretty wild. A maverick of a human let a massive huntsman spider live in his house with him for a year. An Australian man called Jake Gray shared the photo of his horrible eight-legged roomie on Facebook. And as if it wasn't creepy enough that he'd just been casually living with the arachnid, he announced that he had been watching it grow. The thing is the size of a dinner plate. It's massive. Sharing on the...
And he was just letting it live normally in his home.
Yeah, we need to find this photo and put it up on our monitor.
No, huntsman spiders are huge. Oh.
So Steve can see this. It's up on his wall. Sharing on the Australian Spider Identification Group, he wrote, "Check out this big girl. Been watching her grow over the last year." Scroll down on that picture so he can get a little perspective because the some of the furniture and stuff is sitting about. So he has been keeping an eye on the creature in his home in Queensland, where he's watched it grow into what he calls a mighty huntsman. One person commented, "What do you even do? Sell the house? Burn it down? I'm not kidding even for a second. Do you talk to it? Offer it a cigarette?" Another one joked, "Make sure she chucks in half of the rent. She owns a room now." And a third person wrote, "The good old huntsman, they are safe, but they will jump you." And so this guy who wrote the article fact-checked, and he said not only do they travel extremely quickly, they often use a springing jump while running and walk on walls and even ceilings.
Yeah, so that's wonderful.
Kept it as a kind of pet. It's huge.
It's enormous.
They don't harm humans, though. They can't hurt you, per se.
I wouldn't care.
I know.
Yeah. If it actually brought me ice cream in bed, I'd still kill it with a hammer.
How about this kid, Lauren Showers of Great Falls? He's an awesome kid. He's also brave, inspiring, smart as a whip. In a world ravaged by the coronavirus pandemic and political turmoil, he still finds something to be thankful for, and that is to be alive. Last year, Showers lost both his legs and his right forearm in a construction accident. The 19-year-old was driving a forklift in Montana for a bridge construction rehabilitation project when a car illegally tried to pass him. He veered onto the edge of the road, and the dirt underneath the forklift faltered. He tried to unbuckle his seatbelt and jump out. His leg got caught. He fell about 50 feet. The forklift fell on top of him, crushing his legs and arm. He said it was like something out of a horror film. He said that a man jumped out of his car, ran down the hilltop, and Lauren screamed even though he couldn't feel anything. He was taken by Mercy Flight to a hospital where the doctors decided the case was too advanced to handle, so another Mercy Flight was headed to Seattle around that time, so he was taken to Harborview Medical Center. With his permission, the doctors at Harborview performed a hemicorporectomy, which is a surgery where everything below the waist is amputated.
I've seen this kind of surgery,
The choice was an easy one for him, his girlfriend said. He looked at them dead in the eye and he said, "I don't care if I'm just a head on a plate." So they're going to do the surgery and they're going to keep me alive.
Yeah. So, can you imagine that?
No.
Can you imagine?
He spent 3 months in the hospital and 4 weeks in rehabilitation, defying doctors' orders, doctors' expectations every step of the way.
So just one arm.
Because of the pandemic, he had to leave another hospital in Chicago, and a few days later, after a few days earlier than expected, which meant doctors wouldn't have enough time to make him a prosthetic bucket. Now he works with an orthopedic surgeon, and apparently his outlook is great. Like he's just happy to be alive and continue living. So he's a bit of an inspiration, but a pretty wild story.
I've seen people like some veterans who've had that procedure, who have both their arms, and the stuff that they end up doing. I mean, it makes you feel ashamed to ever complain about anything in your life.
Yeah. All right, this is a terrible story. An argument between a husband and wife over a home repair project ended in a murder-suicide. Investigators say numerous witnesses told them that Ronald Mackinson and his wife, Rebecca Vanderwall, got into a fight Saturday evening at their home. Those witnesses said the couple took their argument into the master bedroom. Police said the couple's adult daughter joined them in the bedroom as the argument continued. That's when numerous gunshots were heard. The investigation revealed that Ronald shot Rebecca and then his daughter before finally turning the gun on himself.
The argument was over where to hang their wedding pictures.
Actually, it was over a home improvement. Yeah. It was like a home repair project.
Jesus.
Other family members.
They didn't specify, did they?
Were present and witnessed portions of the incident. No.
That it would validate.
Both Mackinson and Vanderwall were pronounced dead at the scene. Their daughter reportedly remains in stable condition. Police said the investigators who served the search warrant at the home found a black handgun near Mackinson, and it's not clear if the couple had a history of domestic violence or not.
Wow. We've talked about how things like that can get out of hand, you know, but murder-suicide?
Yeah, that's going a bit far. All right, then we'll have to end on a lighter note. So let's see. How about this one? I don't even remember this one. A man accused of destroying metal detectors, a wine rack, and other property inside a North Lincoln, Nebraska Super Saver was arrested following the incident. Oh, I remember this. Okay. Andrew Marr was booked into the county jail and charged of criminal mischief and possession of a controlled substance. Officers were called to the Super Saver on a report of a man ransacking the inside of the store. Police said Marr was damaging vehicles in the parking lot with a sign when officers arrived at the scene. He was arrested without struggle and told officers... He went on the rampage because he thought someone had taken his pipe, his dope pipe.
Right.
It was found on him during a search. He went on an absolute rampage, and it was in his pocket.
Oh, my God. I feel so stupid.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. I broke all your metal detectors. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry.
An early estimate revealed about $7,000 in damages to
Here's my meth pipe.
And vehicles in the parking lot as well. So not only did he destroy stuff in the store, he went out in the parking lot, took it out there because somebody took his pipe and it was in his pocket the whole time. All right. And that's what I have for you in today's Bizarre File. We're going to take a break. We're going to get back. We're going to give something away. Actually, it's an overnight stay at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. And all you need to do is answer a question about something that took place on today's show. We'll ask that question when we get back. We'll get the trash and music news as well. So make sure you stay put.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, we're going to give away, let me see here, we're going to give away a $50 dining credit and an overnight stay at Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. And I think I want to go with this. There were two words that Bill Weston added to the Merriam-Webster's list in 2021, or he will add in 2021. Just name one of those. One of two Bill Weston words that'll make it into Merriam-Webster's list in 2021. 215-263-WMMR. We were talking about them earlier this morning. Let's see if you were listening and know the answer. And while we're waiting for that call to get in, it's time to do the trash.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's see where we go today. What's up this morning, Steve?
All right, Kelly Clarkson's estranged husband, Brandon Blackstock, asking her to pay him $436,000 a month in alimony and child support. Blackstock explained the exorbitant amount, saying it's hard to purchase expensive foreign sports cars when your job is napping. One of Queen Elizabeth's longtime employees named Adam Canto has admitted to stealing items from her and then selling them on eBay. Thankfully, Vinnie B. in Newark has agreed to sell her back her throne.
So that's my God.
And finally, Johnny Galecki and his girlfriend Elena Meyer have split after 2 years together. Galecki says he was tired of Elena talking down to him, but did admit she's 2 feet taller than he is. And that's all we got.
All right, to the phones we go. See if we can find an answer to this. Which two words will Bill Weston add to the Merriam-Webster's list in 2021? You just need to give me one of them. And we'll go to Eric and try it out. Hey, Eric, good morning to you, sir.
Eric!
Good morning.
All right, Eric, give me one of the two words that Bill will add to the list.
Homyonkle.
Yes, and the other is kerfuffle.
Yeah!
But homyonkle is correct, Eric. Hang on for your information, Eric. And we are going to give you a $50 dining credit and an overnight stay at Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City. Winner of 17 Best of Gaming Awards in Casino Player Magazine, including Best Suites, Best Spa, and Favorite Casino Resorts. Get fall escape rates at the hotels starting at $79. Sunday through Thursday, visit Hard Rock Hotel, AtlanticCity.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music View on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Yeah! All right, I have two stories in music news. One of them is for Casey.
Oh!
I'll save it for last.
Yay.
He probably already knows it, but he doesn't know that I'm reporting on it.
Well, actually, I have no idea.
Robert Plant isn't looking at his recent solo compilation, Digging Deep, as being a straightforward greatest hits collection. He spoke to Spin about the double disc package and explained, I look at these songs and I see what the story was around them, because I was like a babe in arms in 1981 when I started crafting my solo debut pictures at 11. I knew how to be a front man in the 70s, but the beginning of the 80s was a totally different zone for all of us musicians from the previous time. There were new musicians, there were new thought processes, and there was, or processes, I should say, and there was a new way of dealing with relationships, and we had to keep pushing to the left and to the right of a common language of a certain kind of eloquence or a certain skill, and I was trying to mix it up. He went on to say, it's certainly not a best of. It's more a collision of time and ideas, a reference to some emotion or some power or some energy. These songs have been lying side by side with their old comrades for 20 years, 30 years. How are you going to feel? How are they going to feel when they come face to face with something 20 years younger, putting something from 1982 with a song from 2006, or putting a Band of Joy track next to an enlarged emotional moment from Rockfeld Studios, from that to Peter Gabriel's place, meaning Real World Studios. All very different crew members, different participants, different links in the magic. And so then it all takes on a whole different personality when it's a new bedfellow lying on each side of it. So the context is crazy. It's a mind bomb, really, he said.
What the hell are you talking about?
I know. He said, I'm really pleased with the fact that they do sometimes live really, usually well together. Do sometimes live really well, usually well together.
Okay. So what's on it?
And sometimes it's like a real curve, as is the journey. I don't know.
Because there's stuff that he hates that we love.
Yeah. And like,
and I don't get it.
He was talking from Pictures at 11. Like, yeah, there's some stuff on there that I love. But he's going to include some of that. Not a lot of that.
All right.
And then only one more thing, and this is for Casey. Trey Anastasio's 8-week run of fanless shows at the Beacon Theater in New York City came to a triumphant close this past Friday. Throughout his 2-month residency, the guitarist and band leader took the stage inside the empty theater every Friday night as joined by a rotating cast of musicians, mostly from his Trey Anastasio band lineup, with a notable appearance from John Fishman in the flesh and Paige McConnell in pre-recorded videos, where they perform a full concert complete with sound, lighting, and video production while fans tuned in live via Twitch. Did you watch any of this stuff?
I did. In fact, this past Friday, I watched the full thing. I was hoping that the...
The full thing being what? Did they put it all together in one big package?
Yeah, it's live on Twitch.
Okay.
So it's live, but I was hoping that the last one this past Friday was the grand finale would have been Fish.
The band, yeah.
And it wasn't, and it was still fine, but it was some of the best musical performances I've ever listened to. I bought a few of the albums because whatever they performed was then available to download and purchase. But
okay,
he made these arrangements from these Fish songs and Trey Anastasio Band songs that he made these arrangements with string quartets. They were called the Rescue Squad. So it was like violins and cellos.
Right,
it was just really, really beautiful stuff. But
were you happy with it?
Yeah. And the way they shot it, Press, was they shot from the back of the stage to the front so that all of the seats were actually in the background. So you weren't looking at the back of the stage.
So they played with their backs to the audience.
Yeah.
Okay, but there was no audience.
But there was no audience.
But they had cardboard cutouts of Minions.
Yeah, and then he was
That makes for a nice backdrop.
Yeah, it was all like a fundraiser as well, so they were raising
money.
Well,
that's the part that I'm going to get to. So the Beacon Jam's performances were free, but viewers were encouraged to donate what money they could to support the Divided Sky Fund, a brand of Fish's Waterwheel Foundation, with proceeds going to benefit the building of a new drug treatment center in Vermont. Not only did Anastasio and his comrades succeed in providing a weekly escape for a loyal fan base desperate for the return of live music, but also reportedly raised over $1 million.
Wow.
For the Divided Sky Fund in the process. So it was big.
We did 1.7, but I'm splitting hairs.
We did it in 5 days, too. Yeah. Well, a little bit. But anyway.
It's all good, though.
Anastasio and company delivered week after week, and the final box score shows the Beacon Jam's residency treated viewers to an astonishing 151 total songs performed with not a single repeat. So,
did you watch anything on as we've been in this zone, Preston, like with different artists getting together and doing things and tributes and so on and so forth and streaming things?
No.
I missed every stinking one of them.
The only ones I saw were, you know, one-off performances of like a song.
Right.
I didn't see concerts and collaborations. I did see some of the TV and movie casts getting back together. A little bit of that.
The
Wonders. I watched that whole one. And I've watched portions of other ones. Like I watched some of Scott Pilgrim.
Right.
That was a really good one. But I've not seen the concert ones.
It's hard. It's not as captivating as being at a concert because you're watching it on your TV or your laptop or maybe even your phone at home. And you just get distracted by other stuff. Like when you're at a concert, you were focused on what's going on up on the stage, you know?
So I think the thing to do would be to throw it from your phone into through your receiver.
Yeah.
And you'll give you at least a big full concert sound.
Yeah, you can get a sort of prex. It can be similar to being
but it's not the same. I know.
And music by its very nature can be passive. You can just sort of have it on in the background.
Yeah.
So
he done good.
Yeah. I forgot to mention, and I think I might be able to find the audio, but he did give WMMR a shout-out. It was at the end of a song.
This is on Casey's phone.
Yeah, so I apologize.
He mentions six jars of farts.
Turn it up all the way, if you would, please. Okay.
You getting ready for some prophylactic hospice?
Oh, God damn it.
I'm trying to put that off.
You know what? It's not even worth it.
in hindsight, not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
Stupid.
Because he barely even gave us a mention, but he did give us a mention. Did I save it?
Yeah. You did. Yes.
It was a good roundabout journey.
Maybe an hour or two, I'm going to mention WMMR.
Not a great idea.
Don't hang around here. 51-minute songs. Oh, so very long.
And that's music news.
All right. Yeah.
That's all I have.
That's all you need.
Yeah. We're going to take another break. We're going to come back in a moment, and we'll get the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. And what's coming up tomorrow. And what Pierre's got going on. So stay with us.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger.
We have totals for you. Total weight of food. Over 2.5 million pounds of food. That's 1,268 plus tons of food. Monetary donations, $1,449,000. The overwhelming amount of that came through Acme.
At the register.
From our listenership and their customers. We're blown away by this.
Camp Out is not possible without the generosity of you and our partners.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger, putting Philly first.
Anyhow, 10:46, Preston and Steve Show. About ready to wrap stuff up. And Pierre Robert, my God, you're in here early. What's this all about?
Well, it's high time.
Yeah.
For what?
I don't know.
It's just high time.
It's high time.
Uh-huh. Is this particularly early?
No, I mean, normally I like walk right up to the edge of where I need to get the letter of the day, and I see him nowhere, and then all of a sudden, magically,
he appears.
The beard and face.
Yeah. Like Patrick Swayze and Ghost.
Yeah.
Kind of,
yeah.
Yes.
Bathe kind of a haze. Wait, and Marissa, what was that?
I didn't realize he was here yet, so I thought I was trying to be him.
Oh, you're trying to be him. Oh. Okay, I got you. No, he's here. He's right here.
My God, that ditto, girl right? reminds me of me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That little filly.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna rope me a steer and kiss me a pretty girl. That's so spot on, I can't believe it myself.
It's astonishing. You would think really John is. Wayne was alive and well.
Rich little eat your heart out.
Two real timely references.
I know.
John Wayne and Rich
now
Little.
Now do Rudy Valley.
If you want the timely references, and we will do a block of Rudy Valley later.
All right.
Yes, absolutely.
After Trini Lopez. Yeah.
Yes.
And then your review of the jazz singer.
Yes. Yeah.
And then play some for Jackie, like Gino Vanilla.
Absolutely.
Now you're talking.
The Pina Colada song.
Yeah.
All right.
Rupert Holmes.
Okay.
Yeah. Gino Vanilla did Casey singing.
I just want to stop and tell you what I feel about you, babe. Mm-hmm. I just want to stop.
Man, that was music.
That was freedom rock.
That was freedom
Turn
rock.
Turn it up.
Yeah.
All right, shall we do the letter?
I'm thinking.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
A, as in awe-inspiring.
As in A. As in, aw, yeah.
Aw, yeah.
And we're...
I'm defeated by the goo, da-da-ba-da, boop.
Where's that? You do that
one. Yep. You gotta bump to the left. Gotta have a soul and out of control.
Okay, that's another one. Throw that on the pile.
Yeah. Gotta have a soul and I'm out of control.
Or whatever.
Yeah, that's what the kids are all loving. It's called Whatever.
That'll be it.
Everyone's getting over to the ball shop to listen to the latest cut from Pierre Robert. It's called Whatever. Rock, and you better start a bopping.
Oh, Vanelli.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. By the way, that A that Pierre said is the second letter of our word of the week. And we have a limited edition Red Sparkle Telecaster signed by Mr. Gavin Rossdale of Bush, plus a download of their new album, The Kingdom, featuring the singles Flower in a Grave and Bullet Holes. And we'll also give you a pair of Bush Virtual Arena Show Tour t-shirts. Ooh. And The Kingdom is available now from BMG. So we'll get that on Friday. Oh, and by the way, we have a tattoo to give away. It's Tattoo Tuesday. We had you text in all morning long. We got a winner. That winner is Mr. Mike Rigg.
Nice.
Mike Rigg is from Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Mike is going to be able to get a Preston and Steve themed tattoo with a $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. Tattoo Tuesday on the Preston and Steve Show, presented by Floating World Tattoo and Piercing, 1729 South Street in Philadelphia. For artwork samples, you can visit floatingworldtattoos.com or check them out on Instagram at Floating World Tattoos. You got good stuff for today, man?
Trey good stuff. I have workforce blocks of Collective Soul Aerosmith. I got blocks of Collective Soul Aerosmith. And the Foo Fighters.
Oh, man.
Do it again.
I can't do that. You get one take, baby.
Okay. Yeah,
that's it.
You like Sinatra.
Yeah, mm-hmm. One take. I'm done.
Chili, break his legs.
Chili, take care of him. Duke him. I already duked him, Frank. Duke him again.
will duke him again.
Well, that was when Frank would give a $100 tip.
Oh, yeah. That's a, he would call that a duke.
He would call it a duke. So he would say to his valet, duke him, Jimmy. Frank, I just duked him. Duke him again.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Be able to do that.
Yeah.
Duke people.
Duke them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
so,
going to rope me a steer. Oh,
duke me a pretty girl. All right. So you done?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I think we can do the remaining 9 minutes of this hour.
Well, I want to thank DeBruno Brothers Catering for coming by this morning. And
duke them.
DeBruno Brothers Catering. great food makes great memories. So we thank them very much because they brought by tomato braised short rib. Oh, man, you were going to do
come
it.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm ready
do
for
it.
You, bro.
Tomato braised short rib, roasted baby heirloom carrots, and for Pierre, vegan Kennett Square mushroom lasagna and chocolate bourbon tart.
Good eating on the Aero Show today. Good eating.
Jump! Okay. Jump!
Jump.
Okay.
Wow, we have we've hit new lows.
Yeah. I mean, we're usually unlistenable, but now we're just cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah. I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you by Acme. Your health and safety are important at Acme. You can get your flu shot for free with most insurance at pharmacy. At the pharmacy, no copay unless required by your plan. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors. Awesome. Also brought to you by Dunkin'. Get cheers into Dunkin' this holiday season with their holiday-inspired signature drinks. Meineke doing car care right. And on tomorrow's program, holiday activities. That's right. Kathy is going to have her holiday activities list.
Activities from Kathy tomorrow.
Ready to go. And we'll do a Fox Good Day appearance as well. Okay, this is that's enough.
Done.
That's it. We're done.
Leave.
Ray, John, have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
La-di-da-di-da-di-da, driving to work. Wait, what did Steve just say about two fingers holding down on a thing? Are you f***ing kidding me? I'm still using a paper dictionary.
Next message.
Casey boy, they might not always get your jokes, but I do. I'm sitting in my car laughing. Casey, I love... Oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm at a NASCAR race. I love you, Casey.
Next message.
Can the Sixers please start the season now? Because the Eagles...
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.